In the Camden bin bag murders is in court later. Anthony Hardy is charged with murdering three women. Detectives are still confident there'll be a peaceful end to the Hackney siege. A man remains inside an East End flat despite his hostage escaping yesterday. And a man still being questioned by police in Germany after he stole a plane and threatened to crash it into the European Central Bank. Stay with us. More, all that and more coming up in just a couple of minutes' time with Tony Craze from Goy Harris Cartwright. Ross Greenwood from Shares Magazine will be looking at directors and their dealings.
From 10 weekday nights, the best late night conversation with Clive Bull. Call on the topic of your choice. 0870 90 90 973.
LBC 97.3. Tuned in to London.
Darling, are you coming to bed?
Just finishing off the crossword.
All right, then. Night-night. Darling, are you coming to bed?
Must get this report done.
Oh. Night.
If you're having erection problems, you might also be making excuses when it comes to bedtime. It's a difficult subject to bring up with your partner or your doctor. So where do you start? Call 0845 378 3783 for a free confidential information pack. It's your first step to getting the love life you deserve. Call 0845 378 3783 today. Sponsored by Pfizer in association with the Impotence Association and the Men's Health Forum.
LBC 97.3.
Now 5:48 in the studio with me, Ross Greenwood and Tony Craze. Ross, a lot of focus in the last year in directors and, well, directors, the way they behave generally. And, of course, always a lot of focus on their share dealing.
Yeah, there is. And a lot of people sort of wonder whether this is a genuine sort of way in which you can actually try and pick shares or whether it's a good thing to follow or not. The funny thing is that a lot of private investors really do follow it assiduously. I mean, they really do believe in this sort of stuff. And it does obviously give you some sort of an indication as to the mindset of the director, if nothing else, if they're buying shares in their company or selling them. But the interesting point about this is that even last year when the market was going down, the number of directors buying shares in their companies was significantly higher than those actually selling. The value of the sells was £760 million, or actually it was the other way around for a little bit of the period, but there was sort of many, many more transactions on the buy side, even though there was less value in the individual actual transactions that they were making at that time. And the reason is a lot of directors were selling out large chunks of companies, and so therefore that sort of always registers bigger interests, if you like. But certainly in terms of the number of actual transactions going through, it's directors who are buying who are generally trying to prop up their share price or take advantage of sort of lower prices that are actually trying to do this. The one thing is that over a longer period of time, though, the number of shares or the amount of shares that the directors are buying has increased by about 50% from 1999, which gives you some sort of indication also that they're prepared to commit more of their money into their companies at what they perceive at lower levels at this time as well. The other point also is that they're not bad also, because the selling peaked in March, April and May, and that's when the FTSE was at its highest level pretty much for the year. And yet the number of sales, the number of buys, peaked in July and September, and that's when the FTSE was going down most dramatically during the year as well. So, you know, one of the things about this is often it's a confidence builder. You quite often see a company which has had a bad set of numbers or a bad report or whatever it might be, shares get hammered, a director walks out and buys 5,000 shares, and it's seen as being some sort of sign of confidence in this, that this director has bought these shares. Well, frankly, if they were mortgaging their house and putting the whole lot into the shares, then you might see it as a sign of confidence. But just ignore those little sort of PR sort of stunts that directors sometimes get up to, because that can sometimes be just that little bit misleading. And it's kind of cynical on behalf of the directors as well to think that that action alone is going to bring shareholders back into their company, because it just simply doesn't happen.
I mean, in that sense, it must be a pretty inexact science and pretty open, as you say, to manipulation. I suppose one way of looking at it is that there is almost an implicit assumption, isn't there, if you're going to follow a director, that he has inside knowledge. So you're virtually suggesting that he's insider dealing. If you were to follow him as a private investor, if you see, you know, such and such from such and such PLC buying shares, you must be thinking, oh, but he must know something that nobody else does.
There's no other reason to follow it, I don't think, Charlie, because of course you're presuming the person's got inside knowledge, and of course they do have inside knowledge. And so under those circumstances, people who suggest or pretend that there is no such thing as inside information in these markets are absolutely living in cloud cuckoo land, because because there is, these people possess it, and that's the reason why people will follow the sort of dealings that directors have. But the irony of this is just to note that the number of transactions that directors were having has not decreased. They haven't gone shy. They've actually continued to buy shares sort of at an increasing rate and indeed an increasing price per transaction. So under those circumstances, if there was a lead to follow, it's quite clear that a lot of directors do see value in their own companies, and perhaps a few shareholders should perhaps similarly see a bit of value as well.
Do they get too emotional, though, Tony, do you think? Their directors in buying shares in their own, or indeed selling them.
Yeah, I think they do, Charlie, sometimes. I mean, I was listening there, obviously, to Ross, and the name Marconi sprang to my mind. I remember that John Mayer and Lord Simpson went out and bought a load of shares at about £2 a share. And, of course, not long after, in fact, a matter of days after, John Mayer lost his job. And we all know where Marconi is now. So it isn't always the right thing to follow companies where the directors are buying. But as Ross said, it's normally a good indication, certainly, if it's a meaningful number of shares. But when they're buying small lots like 5 or 10,000 shares, almost insignificant, I think it's just a PR exercise. What I do hope, Charlie, is that directors are going to be much more accountable now and certainly really rewarded on what they achieve rather than what they hope they might achieve. It's very easy spending other people's money, as the shareholders of Cable and Wireless are finding out to their cost. And indeed, Marconi, of course, in the UK, and many more in the United States. So what I do want is these guys, when they're being paid these fancy packages, to really stand up and be counted, fall on their sword very quickly if they get it wrong, which some of them are hanging around. I'm amazed that, for example, Graham Wallace is still in the position that he's got there. But that can only be a matter of time. I would have thought he'd be one of the first casualties of this year, certainly. But I just hope that these guys are going to, as I say, be more accountable. That's the thing I think you've got to be looking at very much closer at management this year than people have looked at previously.
Who's responsible for that, do you think? Because effectively it's the shareholders who vote on an executive's remuneration packages every year. So the suggestion is the shareholders have been complacent in allowing executives to give themselves these packages.
Oh,
effectively,
they're very
and
complacent.
They should have stepped in. But
yeah.
Is that the city's fault?
I think it is, Charlie. Yeah, I have no, in my mind, no doubt about that. I mean, I talk to a lot of companies and I go what I call off-site. I see them at their place rather than our place. I think you learn a lot more about a company by visiting them rather than them having come in with a nice laptop presentation. And I can tell you that when I speak to these directors, they say, you're the first broker we've seen this year. A lot of analysts, for example, and indeed pension fund managers, are quite happy for them to come in, present to them maybe once, possibly twice a year. I think that complacency's got to stop. I think people have got to go out there and see what's actually going on the ground, as it were, visit the companies themselves, kick the tyres, as I call it.
Ross, do you think there's a suggestion here that the city is a little bit easy on executives because basically they're hoping that in due course of time maybe they'll be, you know, the analyst or the partner or the MD at the bank, the investment bank, you know, hopefully in due course of time he'll be invited on board as a non-executive, and that's, you know, a cheap and cheerful ticket for him.
Maybe it's not that sort of convenient, but it is a machinery. It's a machine that's actually worked over a period of time, and this is the reason why people sort of fail to sort of stick cogs in wheels, if you like, because they tend to find that, you know, you start to jump up and complain about an executive's pay package, and then quite clearly there's a whole lot of other ramifications that might come your way as well. One of the things that does encourage me a little bit is the sort of the bill, the private members bill, which Archie Norman is trying to get up at the moment, which will actually sort of prevent government-wise executives being rewarded for failure. And we've had some, you know, sort of incredible examples of this in the last little while, even the controversy in the past week about the chief executive of AAMI being paid out. Now, in those circumstances, quite clearly, the Remuneration Committee has not given him what he was expecting and what he was legally entitled to. It's about half of what he was entitled to. But even then, some in the city were still jumping up and down. And the National Association of Pension Managers, I mean, again, they have taken a fairly strong lead in some cases where they've seen sort of rewards going for a lack of success. The real problem from the private investor's point of view and the city's point of view generally is when there has been complaint in the past, it's generally been behind closed doors. What you want is the complaint to be out in public so that people can see that there is some form of retribution against companies that have erred or chief executives that had erred, because quite clearly the only way in some cases you can get a person to walk away from their contractual obligations is for them almost to be embarrassed into taking less money simply because the city understands what a poor performance they've had, and or secondly, not to give them another seat on a board, I think would be the other thing.
Tony, do you think we need to pay these executives as much as we see them getting paid? The argument always is, isn't it, that we need to pay them a globally competitive salary, but, you know, does it need to be these tens of millions that sometimes we see them getting, you know, many times the average wage?
What is competitive? I mean, again, you've got to see what is actually in their contracts. I mean, I was absolutely mortified to see, again, going back to Marconi, that they've also become estate agents all of a sudden. You know, I knew Marconi as a great big electronics business, but suddenly we find they're buying houses in the Midlands, selling houses in Wandsworth and all sorts. Now, all of that's got to stop, clearly. So it's the package itself, Charlie, that we don't really understand and know so much about. We hear about these massive salaries, but we don't hear about the actual package in totality. And I think that's really what we've got to be concentrating on. I mean, school fees are being paid for in a number of cases for chief executives. All of that should stop. But it has to be competitive. To get the best people, you have to be competitive. But I would like to see more people rewarded by results and not just being paid a salary just because they happen to be the chief executive of ABC company.
Ross, last word from you?
Yeah, I think this is very much the case. I mean, the directors do have an obligation, and quite clearly these days it's become harder for them because, number one, they're paid more because their tenure is going to be significantly less than what it was years ago. The second thing is that the city is actually forcing them to actually specialise, and so therefore the chances of them failing is becoming increasing as well. So therefore the obligation is on those directors to understand that they will have to fall on their sword if they fail.
Ross, Tony, thank you very much indeed. That's all I'm afraid from me today. Join me, Charlie Gibson, same time, same place tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock for Dawn Traders. Coming up now, Jane Moore and John Nicholson.
If you pursue a no-win, no-fee compensation claim after a road traffic accident or an accident in the workplace and lose, you pay nothing. But what if you win? When Lawrence & Co. solicitors pursue an accident compensation claim on your behalf, they won't ask for a fee up front, nor will they deduct one from any award you may receive. Not one penny. Lawrence & Co. solicitors. Win or lose, there's no fee. Free phone Lawrence & Co. solicitors on 0800 328 9668. 0800 328 9668.
Darling, are you coming to bed?
Just finishing off the crossword.
All right, then. No night. Darling, are you coming to bed?
Must get this report done.
Oh. Night.
If you're having erection problems, you might also be making excuses when it comes to bedtime. It's a difficult subject to bring up with your partner or your doctor. So where do you start? Call 0845 378 3783 for a free confidential information pack. It's your first step to getting the love life you deserve. Call 0845 378 3783 today. Sponsored by Pfizer in association with the Impotence Association and the Men's Health Forum.
And welcome to a brand new show on London's brand new station.
Yes, it's LBC 97.3, and we'll be here every weekday morning between 6 and 9. I'm John Nicholson.
And I'm Jane Moore, and here on LBC, we'll be bringing you a whole new way to start your day.
We'll bring you the best news coverage from London, Britain, and across the world.
We've got sport, weather, finance news, and the latest travel information to help make your journey easier.
And top guests, the people who are making the news from the world of politics and entertainment.
And with our own range of studio experts, we'll bring you the informed views on the real stories.
This is LBC 97.3, London.
In the news at 6, in court today, a man charged over the Camden bin bag bodies. Day 12 of the siege in Hackney, and you'll never have guessed, we went and won the final test. Good morning, I'm Howard Hughes. In court today, a man accused of the Camden bin bag murders, Anthony John Hardy from Royal College Street, was charged last night with killing three women, Elizabeth Valed, an unidentified woman, and Sally Rose White in January last year. It follows the discovery of dismembered remains in Camden last week. Met detectives are still trying to identify some of those. Armed police hope a man holed up in a Hackney flat for a dozen days will give himself up after the hostage escaped. The man, who seems unhurt, has been talking to detectives. Most locals have now been allowed back to their homes. Commander Bob Quick hopes for a peaceful end to the siege.
We believe that the suspect has not been harmed and has since attempted to establish contact with our negotiators. Our negotiators are currently attempting to re-establish contact with him.
A terrifying carjack in Essex. A man held captive for 6 hours. It happened in Wickford. Two men leapt into his car as he got back from delivering a takeaway meal. He was eventually let go, apparently unhurt. A man's in court today accused of an axe attack on historic Waltham Abbey in Essex. Martin Miles is charged with wounding with intent and causing criminal damage after a man went berserk at the Abbey Friday and attacked a 62-year-old man, as well as statues and a stained glass window there. Later, the government's tipped to lay out plans to put anybody caught with an illegal gun in jail for 5 years. The Home Secretary's idea comes after the murders of two teenage girls in Birmingham across the new year. The latest shooting in London was in Hounslow over the weekend. There'll be a gun summit later this week to hammer out some ideas. It looks like the government could cut back on the right of council tenants to buy their own homes. The main reason, they're worried about a big shortage of low-cost houses for key workers, especially here in London and the South East. The scheme was started by Margaret Thatcher back in the 80s. A man who stole a light plane and threatened to crash it into the European Central Bank building in Frankfurt, Germany, is still being questioned by the police this morning. He circled the plane round the city centre for almost an hour before landing. It's reported he was trying to draw attention to a female astronaut who died in the Challenger disaster in 1986. Police are trying to put names to the victims of a light plane crash in Northants. The pilot and passenger were killed when the aircraft came down performing aerobatics in that county. Saddam Hussein goes on TV today to mark Iraq's Army Day. He's expected to try and rouse up his people against America, but there's a bigger message too. Now this from Sky's David Chater in Baghdad.
I expect that he'll be calling on the Arab nations to back him, to make sure that America doesn't launch a war against Iraq. And also, I think his answer to President Bush's recent statement saying his day of reckoning will come.
Tributes are still coming in for Lord Jenkins, one-time Labour Home Secretary and founder of the SDP. He died at the weekend. He's being called the grandfather of New Labour. Ex-colleague Tony Benn says he was an important political influence.
I mean, Tony Blair was a pupil of Roy Jenkins. Break with the unions, break with socialism, a centre party, pro-European, pro-American, pro-nuclear weapons. That's what it was about.
A £1 million advertising campaign begins today to highlight the dangers of internet chat rooms. It aims to encourage parents to make sure kids understand how risky communicating with strangers in cyberspace can be. Predatory paedophiles have used chat rooms to groom youngsters for abuse. The ads will appear on radio, TV and online. The Barmy Army finally have something to shout about this morning. England's cricketers have beaten the Aussies down under. We won the fifth and final Ashes test in Sydney, avoiding the 5-0 series whitewash England fans had dreaded. More on this in LB Sports with Carrie Fraser in a moment. On average, 3 children in every London classroom suffer from dyslexia, but groundbreaking progress is being made in treating it, thanks to a new 6-week computer program unveiled today in Waterloo. Dyslexia sufferer and Olympic swimming ace Duncan Goodhue has completed the Bright Star course and has told LBC the results were quite staggering.
Dyslexia is, in a sense, like being in a fog. You know, you can't see information very well. Reading's difficult, spelling's difficult, retrieval of information is difficult. And it was like having the fog lift. And suddenly everything was much clearer.
It's reported Cilla Black contacted her dead husband through a psychic before quitting Blind Date live on ITV1 at the weekend. This morning she's telling a newspaper she did it because she wanted reassurance that she was doing the right thing. Meantime, TV chiefs say that the show goes on even without our Cill. And now, Laura Lott of LBC Sports. Good morning, Carrie Fraser.
Good morning. It's been a long time coming, but finally the Barmy Army have something to cheer about down under. After England's cricketers won the fifth and final Ashes test in Sydney, preventing an Ashes whitewash, the Aussies were dismissed for 226, giving the tourists a 225-run win.
I'd like to congratulate Steve Waugh and the Australian side for the cricket they've played. If they're not the best side in the world, then we've got problems this summer against South Africa as well.
England captain Nathu Thane after the morale-boosting victory there. England batsman Michael Vaughan was also named man of the match and man of the series for hitting 3 centuries. Australian captain Steve Waugh will also take some time out before deciding his position as skipper. Fulham, Liverpool and First Division Wolves are into this lunchtime's fourth-round draw of the FA Cup. Fulham easily beat Premiership rivals Birmingham in West London yesterday. Liverpool won 1-0 at Manchester City and Wolves caused a shock by knocking out Newcastle. And finally, Everton have dismissed reports that a deal's been done with Real Madrid to give the Spanish giants first refusal to sign teenage sensation Wayne Rooney. More reaction to that magnificent Ashes win down under in half an hour.
This central London congestion charge. Let me explain a bit about it. Plus, there won't be any barriers or gantries on the way in. If you're going to drive in the zone from the 17th of February onwards, you'll be paying a £5 daily charge, and you can pay it in advance or up to 10 p.m. on the day you drive in. So how do you do that? Well, online, by phone, by sending a text message, or over the counter where you see the C sign. The 17th of February isn't far away. So come on, hurry. Find out more today.
Visit cclondon.com, call 0845 900 1234, or look out for the congestion charge leaflet.
LBC's weather is like this. Dry and bright today. Maybe wintry showers in the east of town later really has turned colder. Maximum highs this Monday, 3 Celsius, 37 Fahrenheit. Right now in West London, it's minus 1 Celsius, 30 Fahrenheit. And tonight, the good news is snow showers moving west. It's 6 minutes past six, LBC 97.3.
LBC 97.3. Weather for London. With Joint Ace Capsules, the power of glucosamine and more for joints
LBC
on the go.
97.3.
With Jane Moore and John Nicholson.
Well, it's crunch time in Baghdad this morning. Saddam Hussein's going to be talking to the Iraqi people and telling them to prepare for war. It's 8 o'clock our time. Don't know about you, Jane, but I think the Prime Minister needs to make a better case for why our boys need to go and fight and die in Iraq. We know he's a nasty dictator, but the world's full of nasty dictators. Why should we fight this one in particular?
Well, yes, you're right. And those are the two key words, aren't they? Nasty dictator. And yes, whilst I do agree that the evidence seems rather scant on the ground, how do we know that he doesn't have the evidence, but he just can't release it? Secondly, nasty dictators need to be dealt with, and you have to start somewhere.
So why not
with Saddam Hussein? They should have done it in the Gulf War, but they didn't.
We'll take on China next, and then Russia and North Korea.
Maybe.
Where, really?
Well, I don't know, but
start
all
bombing
I'm saying
China.
To you, you know, this man has massacred thousands of his own citizens, and it has to be dealt with.
The Prime Minister has to make clear why he's a direct threat to the people of the United Kingdom. He's not the world's policeman. Why are we in danger?
Well, he hasn't told us yet. When it threatens your lifestyle, then maybe you will agree with what's being done.
Well, as I say, I'm open to be convinced. All I want is the evidence. That's what's not been forthcoming yet. Anyway, we'll be finding out lots more from David Chater, who's our correspondent in Baghdad. He'll give us all the latest.
Post-Christmas London. 1.5 million broken resolutions per week. 12,000 giggly aunties per evening. 430 unwanted hand-knitted jumpers per day. One offer to put it all behind you this new year.
Get back into London with the Evening Standard. Enjoy a memorable meal at a Conran restaurant with a glass of Perrier Jouet champagne for just £15 per person. Don't miss this exclusive Conran offer, only in today's Evening Standard. Conditions apply.
Get ready, curtain buyers, for this very special sale at award-winning curtain specialist Paul Simon Curtain Superstores. Save hundreds of pounds on thousands of curtains. Arrive early for the best selection and superb offers. Up to 50% off ready-made curtains, fabrics up to 30% off, and many blinds reduced. Why not use their 14-day express curtain service? There's at least 1,000 curtains to choose from. Everyone is reduced to celebrate the Paul Simon Curtain Sale. For your nearest Paul Simon Curtain Superstore, free phone 0800 44 44 00. The Paul Simon Curtain Sale is now on.
Jane Moore and John Nicholson, LBC 97.3. LBC.
Well, Britain may well be moving to war, but what have the Iraqis got to say? In particular, Saddam Hussein. He's speaking to the Iraqi people at 8 o'clock this morning, our time. David Chater is our man in Baghdad. David, what's he going to tell the Iraqis?
Good morning, John. At the moment, the streets in Baghdad are pretty empty. No people around because it's a national holiday, the Iraq Army Day, so-called. And we expect at 8 o'clock your time, as you said, a presidential address. Now, all we've heard, of course, you can't ring up the local press officer in the presidential palace and say, what is President Saddam Hussein going to say? We don't know what he's going to say. All they've said is that it's of historic importance and will deal with pan-Arab issues. So that's a mystery, an enigma, and no doubt we'll know more at 8 o'clock your time. But at the moment, you were talking earlier about the morals and ethics of preemptive war, what evidence is there. Well, at the moment, we've no evidence at all from the United Nations inspection teams here. None whatsoever. Not even a wisp of a smoking gun so far. They've been here 6 weeks. They've looked at more than 230 sites across Iraq. They've just set up a new office in Mosul. They're going to set up one in Basra down in the south. They've got six helicopters. They're going to try and pounce on various suspect sites guided to them by CIA and MI6 intelligence. But at the moment, they've turned up nothing.
All of which, of course, is very annoying and irritating if you're in the pro-war faction in the Bush camp, I would imagine. It does look as if war is highly likely, this huge mobilisation of British and American troops. Some Arab leaders want Saddam Hussein to resign rather than see Iraq and the Iraqi people bombed. Any chance that he'll listen to them and step down?
Well, that's right. I mean, the Arab League, the Arab nations, especially the Arab neighbours of Iraq, are very keen to try and persuade the strongman of Iraq to step down. I think it's extremely unlikely that he's going to listen to them. There are rumours that something called Saddam City is being built in the northern suburbs of Tripoli. Behind large walls, five mansions and lakes and staff quarters are being built.
That sounds attractive.
That could be being made in preparation for Saddam's family.
Will the Iraqis... A big question, of course, has to be, will the Iraqis fight to defend him? We heard a lot about the Revolutionary Guard, didn't we, last time round, and how tough they were in the event Iraqi soldiers surrendered en masse. Do you see Iraqis fighting street on street in Baghdad to defend Saddam Hussein?
Well, in the Gulf War, we saw the ordinary conscripts surrender en masse to the Allied troops, but you didn't see the Republican Guard and the Special Republican Guard. These are the elite troops. These are the crack troops that he's got. Now, if only, say, 50,000 troops, only 50,000 disperse into the cities and are determined to go down fighting in street fighting, it's going to make it a long and very difficult war for the United States and for Britain, and there will be very high casualties, not only amongst the Allied troops, but also, of course, amongst the civilians, because this time around, they're not actually defending front lines. They have dispersed their military assets and hardware throughout the cities, throughout the country. They've learned their lesson.
But David, isn't this just about sort of, you know, smoking out Saddam Hussein? I mean, sending all these troops. Who's to say that this isn't just a move by America and Britain to frighten him into standing down?
Good morning, Jane. Yes. Well, I think you've noticed that there'll be a speech by Jack Straw later on today, and also the Prime Minister, both trying to put the point of view, the pivotal point of view, that they want to disarm President Saddam Hussein, either peacefully or by use of arms. And that's why the build-up's going on. He will not react to diplomacy. He's been breaking the sanctions for the last 11 years. He's been ignoring all the resolutions passed by the United Nations. This time, the Allies have got to show they mean it, and they mean it seriously, and that's why we're seeing the military build-up. But if they think that President Saddam Hussein is going to stand down under this pressure, I think they're very much mistaken. I think we'll see a speech of defiance today.
We're seeing the United States dropping propaganda leaflets all across Iraq, saying to people, look, we're not trying to fight you, the people, we're trying to fight Saddam. You can both be a patriotic Iraqi and also resist Saddam. I mean, I've spent time in Baghdad, and I was very struck by the terrible fear and hatred there is of Saddam amongst the ordinary people. Presumably, that's what the West is banking on in order to limit casualties.
Well, they might be banking on it. If you remember that President Bush Sr. in the last Gulf War actually called on people to rise up, and there were rebellions, and they were brutally put down by Saddam Hussein. That's why the no-fly zones are now in place in the north and the south. I don't think that people will be particularly ready to go forward and rise up against Saddam Hussein again, having had that experience last time.
David, one of the papers over here this morning, the Daily Mirror, has done a huge front page basically saying that this is all about oil. Would you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I think there are all sorts of reasons for this war, and there are a lot of morals and ethics about a preemptive war, but certainly that's what the Iraqi government here are painting it as. They say the Americans are determined to build a new Roman Empire to get their hands on Iraqi oil. It's very easy to extract, and it's very high grade and high quality. And they say, without a doubt, that's the reason why the United States is determined to take over Iraq. And indeed, it's one of the main reasons why the United Kingdom did in the first place way back in the First World War. They were anxious to get their hands on oil as well.
OK, David, well, thank you very much. We'll leave you to go and get ready for Saddam's speech, and we'll be reporting on that a bit more later. Thank you very much. Now it's over to LBC Travel with Karen Mercer.
Well, a crash on Sussex Gardens is closing the road in both directions. This is between Edgware Road and Sell Place. Further afield in the Surrey area, the A308 is shut between the Runnymede roundabout and the Old Windsor roundabout. This is all due to problems with flooding. And more flooding to put up with in the Berkshire area. Welly Road in Raisbury closed off in both directions. And generally, just a general word of warning here about the driving conditions. Very dangerous this morning with lots of ice about on the road surfaces. If you're heading out onto public transport on the train, Southwest trains have buses in for the services between Staines and Windsor and Eton Riverside. Now, this is due to flooding, but they're not stopping at Datchet because of the flooding in that area. Train services via Merston, they should be getting back to normal now after problems with a landslide. Now, just to recap, on the roads, there is a crash on Sussex Gardens. The road is closed in both directions between Edgware Road and Sell Place. This is Karen Mercer in the LBC 97.3 Travel Centre, with Charsonic, the driving force in home entertainment.
This is LBC 97.3.
6:17, this is Howard Hughes. The stories we're on this morning: in court, a man charged over the Camden bin bag bodies. Day 12 of the siege in Hackney. The man is still in there. Police are hoping he comes out soon. And we beat the Aussies in the cricket for a change. The weather for London is like this: bright with wintry showers. Today's high is 3 Celsius, 37 Fahrenheit. LBC 97.3.
I'm the UK surfing champion. Yeah, I'm the record holder. I mean, I'm not talking catching big air, 180 tail slides, gnarly barrels, tubes or cutbacks. I'm talking speed. I'm the fastest surfer there is. I can't even swim.
Blue Yonder 1 megabit is the fastest ever home internet cable connection. Faster than anything else you've experienced. Nearly twice as fast as broadband from BT. If you live in a Telewest broadband area and you want to be a record holder, then call 0800 953 5000. Conditions apply. Blue Yonder 1 megabit, the fastest home internet cable connection you can get, bar none.
London Gatwick has seen its fair share of grand arrivals, from Hollywood superstars and sporting heroes, from pop stars to royal households. But perhaps London Gatwick's most celebrated arrival is only now boarding. Monarch scheduled. Regular flights to Alicante, Faro and Malaga, and lower fares when you book online by January the 13th at flymonarch.com. Web fares from £39 one way. Monarch scheduled. Service included. Conditions apply.
LBC 97.3.
With Jane Moore and John Nicholson.
Good morning, it's 6:19. Now then, I don't know if you remember last week, there were a couple of £1 million bingo winners. Did this make them happy? No, it didn't. They said that they have never been so depressed. So there they are, the living embodiment that money does not mean more happiness.
Well, they're mad though, aren't they?
They are
they're
mad,
they're quite
yes.
clearly
I say,
barking.
Give it to me, yes. is what I say. That well, would make me very happy indeed. But apparently,
make me delirious.
It's very scientific this, you know. There's a new formula that's been developed to measure happiness. There are three factors: personal characteristics, existence needs, which apparently to you and I, that's friendship and health and so on, and higher order needs, which is self-esteem and ambitions. But I'm here to tell us
Jane,
all about
I want to
it.
Know more.
Absolutely. Well, here's the man, Pete Cohen, life coach and equation developer. God, blimey, that's a bit of a title.
No, it's pretty crazy, actually, because I got a U in my maths O-level, so I actually developed it with...
I think that's one letter higher than me. So what's all this about then, Pete?
Well, it's about happiness. This is some work that was commissioned by Thompson's Holiday. They were very interested in finding out what actually makes people happy. I mean, obviously, holidays is something which everyone knows, everyone makes people happy, but it's a fascinating area because in my work, you don't actually meet that many people who genuinely feel good about themselves and are happy. So we were able to develop some form of equation for people to perhaps work out how happy they are at this current point in their life. And believe it or not, it's not money which necessarily makes people happy. For people who have won the lottery and stuff in research they've done, they found that it makes them happy for a little bit, but eventually, you know, they have got so much money they don't even know what to do with it.
Of course, poverty doesn't make you happy either, it has to be said. I mean, I consider myself blessed because I'm sitting beside Jane, and one of the things about Jane is she's just so sunny.
Yeah. It's like
sitting beside...
He lied.
It's like sitting beside a little burst of spring sunshine.
Yeah. That's
now,
me.
Why is she so happy?
Well, because she's choosing to be. I mean, let's face it, this society that we live in, most people are transfixed on what's wrong, what's missing, all the problems. And if you focus on that, you know, you get what you focus on. So if your life is not going particularly well, it's probably because you're focusing on it being that way.
All right, can you do the test?
It is all about self-esteem. It's got to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, self-esteem is a factor too. And I suppose the first question here is to do with personal traits. And it's like, to what extent do you see yourself as someone who's outgoing, energetic, is flexible and open to change?
Energetic. Having a problem with the energetic bit, me, I must say.
Okay, maybe not so much energetic, but open. I mean, being open to change is a big thing.
Marks out of 10.
Yeah, 0 and 10. 10 being to a very large extent and 0, not, you know, not at all.
Okay, well, I'd say Jane was pretty frisky. So I'd give her an 8 or 9 for
but
that.
But it's interesting. I don't always... probably. But I don't always associate... because I have to say... I mean, I have very good self-esteem. I've been brought up by a very strong mum and who gave me self-esteem, but I'm not a terminally happy person, and I do find very happy people rather irritating. Roland, yes. You're nodding very energetically over
nodding
there.
Not nodding off.
This is Roland Ridron, everyone, who's nodding, doing our newspapers.
Good morning, yes, I've just arrived. Sorry about that. I'm here now.
You see, you're happy. You've got a happy voice, but
yes.
I bet you're not... irritating.
He's got a miserable
happy,
face. He's got a miserable face, though.
Inwardly, I'm crying, but externally, it's sunny. No, as you said, it's attitude, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all around you could be falling to bits, but, as, you know, as long as you're thinking positive.
Yeah.
That can be annoying, though. You just want to shake some people and say, look, please, just acknowledge the fact that it's all falling to bits around you and just be miserable.
In my dating days, if a man used to, you know, be around in the morning, he'd be like, morning! I'd say, goodbye. Can't deal with that in the morning.
I think sometimes when people are like that, it's not real, it's a front, you know, they're pretending to be happy, whereas happiness can be...
Cheeriness. Do you know what I find depressing? Cheeriness.
Yeah.
Chirpy, cheery people, I just want to hit them.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I do, actually. I do.
Well, you can always start doing that. Maybe it'll make you happy.
Yeah,
you know,
no, you're right, Pete. It's the falseness of it.
Yes, exactly.
What is the equation here? Let's not get too technical.
Okay, but so that's the first question. You get a figure between 0 and 10. Maybe yours is 8. You know, to what extent do you see yourself somewhere?
Sorry, can I just say I've got on my briefing notes here, P plus 5 times E plus 3 times H equals happiness.
Yeah, there you go. That's the equation.
Because that's the kind of briefing notes they give us here. That's easy to understand, isn't it?
Equals large headache. I was never very good at algebra. So it's to think happy.
Well, yeah, I mean, to think happy, but to do things which make you happy. And believe it or not, the things which make people most happy is getting lost in the doing of something. So, you know, you could be happy ironing. You could be happy doing your job. You could be happy doing anything. But you have to get lost, or you have to enjoy the process of what you're doing. And most people don't do that. They're so transfixed on the result.
And you have to be happy in your own skin. I mean, who's your research aimed at?
Anybody, really. I mean, it's a relative thing. It's not the answer to everyone's problems, but perhaps it might be an indication for some people to work out, actually, there are some things I could do that perhaps would make me happier.
Yeah, this is aimed at state of mind, though, isn't it? I mean, anyone that suffers from genuine depression, that's a different issue altogether. But this is just sort of general day-to-day, ordinary people that wake up and rather than saying, hey, I've got all these great things today and I've got my health, they go, I've got to go to work and I've got to do this and I've got to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is about happiness is that if you ask people what it is, most people will probably say to you that it's about that they think happiness is something that is earned. You have to earn the right to be happy. Like, you work hard, so you should be happy, rather than just being happy for any reason.
And are you telling people to change their lifestyle, or simply, as my granny might have said, to learn how to count their blessings?
Something like that, but perhaps more to just enjoy your life, because you know, life is a bit short, and most people.
One person that could do with listening to this, and I hope he is listening on Buckingham Palace FM, is Prince Charles, because if ever there's anyone in the country that you think, my God, he's got life sorted, it's Prince Charles. But apparently, this morning, Roland, you've got the Daily Mail.
Daily Mail says that friends of Prince Charles are worried about his well-being. The paper claims he's gloomy and depressed.
He's a plate smasher, isn't he?
Yes, he throws crockery around, rather than getting his friends to sell it.
I hope it's not Mummy's Best China.
Yes, I mean, what's the man got to... apart from what he looks like, obviously, what's he got to be miserable about?
Is that he's got servants coming out of his ears,
Let's run through a list of things that could make him depressed. His family. his other half.
Yes.
I can think of lots of things who would make me a bit weepy if I was Prince Charles, frankly.
No. Yeah.
But I'm curious as to... Thompson commissioned this, didn't they? What are they going to do with the results? Are the holidays going to be different? Are we going to have happy holidays or miserable holidays? Well, I mean, where's it going to end up?
I think what they were actually interested in is finding out as far as, because they, I think they automatically knew that holidays are something which people enjoy, but it's what is it about holidays which actually people enjoy? You know, the content of the holiday. And for most people, it is when you're on holiday that you actually relax. You have time to do exactly what you want. You're free. That's what actually makes people happy.
Well, it depends on the concept of holiday. But Roland, I know, has got children as well. And sometimes when you go away with all your kids, you sort of think, oh, blimey, why have I done this? You know, and your luggage goes missing. And
and your hotel hasn't been finished and your tiles are cracked.
Well, you are sunny this morning, aren't you?
But if
go
you,
and bump someone.
But if you're energetic and you're open to change and you're flexible, then, you know, you deal with what life throws up at you. Some people are so pessimistic.
I know. The cup's half full. It's not half empty, is it?
Yeah, well, it's a choice.
All right, how do you cheer up Prince Charles? You just say...
we all start laughing.
Abdicate.
Yeah, maybe it's not laughing.
Do you know, the radio programme did a poll which showed that he was fourth on a list of people that the country wanted to expel.
Really? Yeah, well, it just
the average person... There was three before him, I can't remember who they were, but Prince Charles came fourth. People would like to see him move abroad.
It just annoys me, because this story's obviously been planted, you know.
And he gave us everything.
This non-story has been planted in the Daily Mail to sort of drum up sympathy for Prince Charles. But, you know, they've got, what is it, 8 houses, untold millions, they've got their health, it's like...
Yeah, but they haven't got your phone number.
There
is a piece in the paper that says that Prince of Wales spent an hour and a half in an out-of-the-way pub on New Year's Day. Drinking and chatting with 40 to 50 people. I think he's doing some stand-up.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing, in an attempt to cheer himself up. He's become a stand-up comedian. He was in a pub, entertaining 40 to 50 people New Year's Day.
Yeah, I'd go and listen to that.
Imagine it takes about 4 hours to tell a joke with all the...
Oh, don't sell him some shit.
Well, listen, don't be depressed, because Roland's going to be back with more happy papers throughout the morning. Meanwhile, at 6:27, it's time for LBC Travel with Karen Mercer.
This time check was brought to you by Heathrow Express, which, unlike this announcement, doesn't have any stops.
Timing is everything.
Well, we've got news just in of a collision on the southbound side of the M40 between Junction 4 for Handycross and Junction 3 for Wickham East. Now, this will start to cause delays for you if you're heading southbound, as one lane has been coned off. And the police are warning that it's very icy in that area. Not only that, but roads across London generally affected by those icy conditions. So just a reminder to take some extra care on your journey. We've already had news of a crash in the Sussex Gardens area. It's actually on Sussex Gardens, closing off the road in both directions between Edgware Road and Sell Place. On to the tubes, there's no service on the Waterloo and City line, that's due to a signal failure at Waterloo. On the trains, buses in for the South West train services between Staines and Windsor and Eton Riverside, that's due to flooding. Train services via Merstham, though, should be getting back to normal after problems with the landslide. This is Karen Mercer in the LBC 97.3 Travel Centre with Charsonic, the driving force in home entertainment.
LBC 97.3
Right, well, welcome back. It's 6:29. In a moment, we're going to be talking about... I'm just going to go, yes, we've won the cricket.
Oh, yes. Oh,
that's
fantastic,
something to be
isn't
happy
it?
About.
Because we never win the cricket, do we?
Well, not very often.
No.
Well,
good night, sleep. Travel in. You're in for a good night's sleep. For bookings, call 0870-242-8000.
LBC 97.3
with Jane Moore and John Nicholson.
Well, we got cut off in our prime there, by an ad, but nothing's going to stop us.
And we were good, weren't we?
We were very good, even though half the things we said weren't heard. We're going to be crossing over to Australia in a minute with news of... Yes,
are you going to shout again?
Our victory!
Yes.
Cricket!
What happened? Did the Australians all fall ill or what?
Oh, don't be such an old cynic. No, we won on our skill, didn't we, Carrie?
We did, although it was a bit of a depleted Australian side. But we will take the shine off the victory.
Right. So why did we win?
Because we played particularly well and the pressure was off, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. We're going to be finding out lots more about that. In fact, we're going to dwell on our pleasure on the cricket front.
Did you know there are three easy ways to find out about the Chair Centre's superb selection of high-seated and orthopaedic chairs? You can call them on 020-8368-0281, visit their website at thechaircentre.co.uk, or pop along to their showroom at 386 Bowes Road, just by Arnos Grove Tube. The Chair Centre believes in good old-fashioned service, the kind you may have thought had disappeared along with the threepenny bit. So visit the Chair Centre, 386 Bowes Road, and see for yourself. The Chair Centre, making life a little easier.
Learning Turkish. Lesson 3. Winning a holiday. A ticket for the Schroeder's London Boat Show, please.
Schroeder's Londra Kayık Gösterisi'ne bir bilet alabilir miyim lütfen?
I think I'll enter the free prize draw.
Ödül çekilişine girmek istiyorum.
I don't believe it. I've won.
İnanmıyorum! Kazandım! Kazandım!
To celebrate the Turkish-themed Schroeder's London Boat Show in association with the Daily Telegraph from the 2nd to the 12th of January, Sunsail are offering you the chance to win one of £50,000 worth of water sports holidays in Turkey. You don't even have to learn Turkish. Call 0115-9129-111 or visit londonboatshow.net for tickets. No purchase necessary. Contact Boat Show for details.
This is LBC 97.3, London.
6:31, I'm Howard Hughes. The news headlines. Charged with murdering three women, a Camden man is appearing in court today. Anthony Hardy, accused of murdering two people whose dismembered remains were found last week. And Sally Rose White, who was found dead at Hardy's flat last year. The Hackney hostage taker is continuing to hold out against the police surrounding his flat, even though his hostage has escaped over the weekend. He's been given hospital treatment, but appears to be unharmed. Many local residents are now being alert to go back to their homes as the standoff enters day 12. David Blunkett is getting tough on gun crime. He's tipped to say later he's bringing in a 5-year minimum jail term for anybody caught carrying an illegal gun. And after the New Year Birmingham party shootings, he's also planning a gun summit with community leaders this week. It looks like the government could cut back on the right of council tenants to buy their own homes. The main reason, they're worried about a big shortage of low-cost houses for key workers, especially here in London and the South East. New Year, new supermarket war. Tesco's kicking it off. £80 million worth of price cuts on 1,000 products. Asda is lashing back. They're cutting the cost of clothes. An occupational psychologist, get this, has come up with the formula for happiness. Been looking for this one for years. Apparently it is P plus brackets 5 times E brackets plus brackets 3 times H brackets. What does that mean, you might ask? Men apparently are happiest when they're in love, going on holiday, having a good sex life, and success on the sporting field. Women apparently rate spending time with the family, sunny weather, and dieting higher than love and romance. Uh-huh. London's weather is like this, dry and bright. Maybe wintry showers in the east of town later in the day. Highs today, 3 Celsius, 37 Fahrenheit. Currently in West London, it is warming up to about 1 Celsius, which is 34 Fahrenheit. Tonight, snow showers will move west.
LBC 97.3, weather for London, with Joint Ace Fizz, healthy joints for movers and shakers.
And now checking LBC Sports this morning, here's Carrie Fraze.
The champagne is flowing down under after England claimed their first Ashes win in the fifth and final test. It was a long time coming, but the Aussies easily winning the series 4-1. But this was a morale-boosting victory. Nasser Hussain's men bowling Australia out for just 226, securing a 225-run win in Sydney. And the Essex batsman was delighted.
We played really well this game, to be honest. We really got things right. We did a lot of things wrong again, but we got more things right this game, and that was very pleasing.
Michael Vaughan was named man of the match and man of the series. He says it's the moment to savour.
To beat the Aussies at the SCG, I know we've lost 4-1, but you know, this is something special, and delighted for the supporters. They've supported us through thick and thin. They've sang all the way through the series.
Well, for the very latest from Sydney, we can now join our reporter Guy Swindles. Guy, of the Barmy Army having a bit of a party down Hello. Under by any chance?
Hello. Hello.
Having a bit of a problem contact. He's obviously joining in the party. He's carried away.
Overexcited.
You know, I said we shouldn't have made him go to a payphone. It's so mean.
Those pips.
I know.
So, but we've still lost then, Kerry, really?
Yes, we have lost.
I know we've won one, but...
Did you hear what Kerry said about the one that we won? She said it was because the Australian side were depleted. It's that kind of negativity.
No, I really hate.
You should have given them credit where credit's due.
It's a very British thing, isn't it, to get excited about losing?
It is, and it's a very British thing, certainly, to win while the pressure's off and there's actually nothing to win for. Anyway, I think we can now cross to Guy, who's recovered.
He's put some more 10p's into the coin box.
Guy.
England have beaten Australia by 225 runs in front of thousands of adoring fans as the Barmy Army really did flock to the SCG to finally see England get one back on the old enemy after the hammering they'd been delivered earlier on in the Ashes series. It's the first Australian defeat on home soil for 4 years. It also means Nasser Hussain and his men restore some of their battered pride, avoiding a whitewash in the series after losing those first four matches. Andrew Caddick, destroyer-in-chief, he took 7 wickets, 10 in the match, and he was given great support by the other bowlers. But the man who probably did more to set up the victory than anybody else, Michael Vaughan, man of the match and indeed man of the series. No mean achievement in a series you've lost 4-1. Only Gilchrist and Lee showed any real resistance, but after all the trials and tribulations on this tour, this really was a wonderful victory. England beat Australia. That really does sound good. Guy Swindles, Sydney.
Thanks very much indeed, Guy. To the rest of the sports news now, and last year's FA Cup semi-finalists, Fulham have become the 9th London club to reach round 4. They easily beat Birmingham City 3-1 at Loftus Road last night, Louis Saha scoring the 3rd on his return from injury. Struggling Liverpool won 1-0 at Manchester City, a victory that pleased under-pressure manager Gerard Houllier.
The fact that we won here is, I would say, massive, massive for the club, massive for the fans and for the players themselves, because it would probably give them a sort of a psychological boost.
First Division Wolves also caused a shock by knocking out Newcastle 3-2 at Molineux.
We've had crossword, we've been angry with each other, we spit and blood in the dressing room. This was a cruel defeat for this club.
That was an angry Bobby Robson there after his side came from 2 down before Dulwich-born Georgian Dar hit the winner for Wolves. The fourth round draw returns to its traditional time of Monday lunchtime, and we'll let you know if it affects your London club later on. It's thought Chelsea will lodge an appeal to the FA later against Carlo Cudicini's sending off in their FA Cup win at the weekend. Middlesbrough striker Dean Windass bundled the Italian into the back of his net at Stamford Bridge, but the goalkeeper was shown the red card for allegedly kneeing Windass. TV replays, though, show he didn't. Dennis Bergkamp isn't to blame, that from Oxford midfielder Bobby Ford, after he was caught by the Dutchman's elbow as Arsenal won at Highbury on Saturday. Ford required treatment, but insisted the FA shouldn't start a video investigation, which could lead to the Gunners' striker facing misconduct charges. London Knights came from behind twice to earn a much-needed point in ice hockey's Super League last night. They drew 3-3 with Belfast Giants at the London Arena, with the equaliser coming 5 minutes from the end. And finally, London Leopards moved up to 8th place in the British Basketball League last night after a derby win against London Towers. The Brentwood-based team winning 76-73. Rod Brown was the hero of the hour with 20 points and 10 rebounds. That's it from me for the moment. More sport in half an hour.
Hello, it's me again, the Sofa Bed Shop Man, with the news that Christmas may be over, but we're keeping the festive spirit alive with our legendary winter sale. We've got some amazing bargains in sofas and sofa beds, and this year we've a fantastic range of leather sofa beds with matching sofas that defy description. But if you're not into leather, then we'll cover them in the fabric of your choice. We're still at 43 Coney Hatch Lane, Muswell Hill, and 93 to 97 Hampstead Road, just 5 minutes from Warren Street and Euston Stations. So come along and pick up a post-Christmas bargain at the Sofa Bed Shop's winter sale. It's on now!
Do you have a digital camera? Would you like real photo prints of your pictures? Then go to photoview.com. At photoview.com, you can send us your digital pictures by email. We'll create prints on real photographic paper, then send them back to you by post. The quality is brilliant and the cost as low as 29p per print. Say goodbye to costly low-quality prints off your PC. Get real photo prints of your digital pictures at photoview.com. F-O-T-O-V.
Jane Moore and John Nicholson, LBC 97.3.
It's 20 to 7 now, lots on the front pages. Here's Roland Riven with all the news that's fit or unfit to print.
We're perfect, without any props at all.
What do you have for us? What's exciting this morning?
I tell you what, it's exciting. Stella Black.
She's been talking to the other side.
Well, has she? Oh, yeah. No, she's been communicating, yes.
On both levels.
Her late, departed husband, yeah, no, but apart from that, she's,
He told her to give up blind date, is that the bottom
that's
line?
That's what it says.
She's even though he's dead.
But how courageous for her to announce live on air, not telling anyone.
I must say, I saw that, and when she came down the steps, and I sort of had to do a second, I was like, did she just say what she just said?
Really?
Talk about stealing the march on her bosses, I think that's fantastic.
That, isn't it brilliant that somebody can do that?
Because they had no idea whatsoever, and she then refused to take part in their ITV2 broadcast.
That's
and said, I'm having a glass of champagne with my friends.
In fact, what she has done is she's in Australia now doing an episode of Surprise Surprise with the English cricket team.
Right.
Very good.
Do you think her husband would have given different advice if she'd been allowed to keep her golden handcuffs deal that ITN apparently removed from her at the last moment?
Really? Well, I think so.
Or am I being cynical?
No,
you're being
cynical,
and also you're believing that people can talk to people on the other side, which, as we know, is
complete
bunkum.
She's talking to the BBC, which is also the other side, but her husband, I met him several times, and he did really guide her career, and whether you believe in all that psychic stuff or not, if he was alive, he would have said to her straight away, the minute that they started to faff her about and say, you're not having the same contract, blah, blah, he would have said, go, because he would have protected her and not put up with it.
That coming from a man with a beard as well.
Absolutely.
I think she's had a good innings, though, and I was getting a bit tired.
I think the show's getting a bit tired.
Pat is getting a bit tired as well. I just didn't care when they drew back the screens anymore. I just didn't care who was going to be sitting there.
Well, I kind of feel that all the contestants are now just wannabes, aren't they?
It became very samey. Each week you think, hang on a minute, didn't I watch this last week? The people looked exactly the same.
And they all read out the things that have been written for them.
And then they're special and they did Tara Palmer, whatever it's called. For goodness sake, God.
No, you don't want any of that.
So we've written that off.
Okay,
what next?
Other papers?
The Home Office, in The Guardian, the Home Office to publish a first code of conduct for internet chat rooms.
Oh, about time. Goodness me.
Yeah, but measures will include virtual panic buttons. Surely that's the off button, isn't it?
Yes, you would have thought so, yes. Off.
That's all you've got to do.
Shut down button. But, I mean, this is long overdue. I mean, the internet, when did the internet really... I think it was around, 86, I think first started.
And it's been in widespread usage for at least a decade, hasn't it?
Yeah, and to suddenly sort of say now, when it's mushroomed to the extent that it's completely out of control. But, my daughter is on the internet, and I just have what's she on? AOL. They have a child guard on.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
I've got to look forward to that, because my kids are just slightly too young to
actually
understand.
How old are they?
16, 8 and 24. No, they're 8, 6 and 2.5.
No, they should all be able to. Even the 2.5-year-old can probably operate the internet.
Yeah, on AOL, you can set your...
Really?
Yeah, well, at least I can in mine. Actually,
have you got a child guard on yours?
maybe somebody set it up for me. I haven't really thought about that. Lots of war stuff in the papers, he said cheerily. Front page of the Telegraph, they're worried, aren't they, about friendly fire from the Americans using precision bombing to kill our troops.
Yeah, they're worried that if the troops do go there, they don't want people that are on the same side to kill each other.
Mm.
Yes, that would work.
Yeah. Controversial, but I think that that view may win supporters in Britain. Yeah. My favourite picture of the morning is George Bush banging his head on the Marine One helicopter, which is in the Daily Mirror.
He's doing himself no favours, is he?
Well, of course, like so many gung-ho, warmongery sort of presidents, he himself spent the whole of Vietnam War hiding in the Texas National Guard.
Did he?
Which is where his daddy managed to get him hidden in the Texas National Guard. So he's happy for everyone else to go off and die. He just wasn't too keen on doing it himself.
Does make me laugh. He always wears that sort of green military bomber jacket over his suit to make it look like he means business.
He also always wears that gormless expression as well, doesn't he?
And that wonderful, those binoculars where he forgot to take the lens caps off. It's all good stuff.
It makes you wish
that Spitting Image was still on the television, because they'd have a field day
with him. Well, I love Steve Bell when he does them as a chimp up a tree throwing bananas at his opponents.
Talking of Spitting Image, it's strange that Rory Bremner is doing Saddam now.
Yes.
He's announced that he's going to be doing Saddam Hussein, or no, whoever.
Thank goodness.
Bin Laden. He's impersonating Bin Laden.
Bin Laden.
Not Saddam, because anyone can do that. But,
well.
but talk about being sensitive.
Roland, do you know, I've got a feeling we've got lots more to talk about in the next little while. But meanwhile, we're going to go over to LBC Travel and Karen Mercer.
Well, looking at the motorways, there's been an accident on the southbound side of the M40 between Junction 4 for Handcross and Junction 3 for Wickham East. This will start to cause delays for you if you're heading southbound, as one lane's closed off. And the police have told us it's very icy in the area. It's also icy across London generally. So just a word of warning to remember that when you're heading out and about today. The M23 is blocked between Junction 9 for the Gatwick Airport spur and Junction 10 for the Crawley link. This will start to cause congestion for southbound traffic. The crash on Sussex Garden still closing the road in both directions between Edgware Road and Sale Place. Blackwall Tunnel traffic, that's starting to build up northbound already this morning. And Graham Road, some much better news here, to the east of town in Hackney. Graham Road has now reopened between Mare Street and Navarino Road after the earlier ongoing incident. For the tubes, no service on the Waterloo and City line due to a signal failure at Waterloo. LBC Travel, this is Karen Mercer in the LBC 97.3 Travel Centre with Charles Sonic, the driving force in home entertainment.
This is the new LBC 97.3, tuned in to London. You can now find non-stop news for London with travel and weather every 10 minutes on LBC News 11:52 a.m. Medium Wave. Two new services from LBC. The choice is yours.
London in the new year. 2.5 million wasted gym memberships per week. 98,000 regretted chocolates per evening. 6,400, I'll start my diet tomorrow's, per day. But one irresistible offer this new year.
With the Evening Standard, that diet can wait. Enjoy a memorable meal at a Conran restaurant with a glass of Perrier Jouet champagne for just £15 per person. Don't miss this exclusive Conran offer, only in today's Evening Standard. Conditions apply.
Right then, my old shiner, let me have a little word in your shell. Like, it is a simple enough deal, but it seems that some of you find it a bit difficult to believe. So let me put the record straight. Brico can supply and install 8 windows fully fitted and guaranteed from just £1,399. And that, my son, is Pucker.
Brico, the difference is clear.
Call Brico free on 0800 298 2298.
This is LBC 97.3.
And this is Howard Hughes, 6:46 stories. We're on this hour. A man in court today over the Camden bin bag bodies. It is day 12 of the Hackney siege. They're still hoping this man comes out. And Saddam Hussein is going on TV later to tongue-lash the Americans, us, and anybody else who doesn't like him. London's weather is like this, dry and bright, maybe some wintry showers in the east of town later, highs only around 3 Celsius, 37 Fahrenheit. Tonight, they're talking about snow showers will move towards the west. LBC 97.3.
Welcome to the new LBC 97.3. Tuned in to London. Meet the team.
Jane Moore.
I was told this morning that it was the wrong kind of rain. That was a new one.
Clive Bull.
Well, I got my view. Mayor Ken has got his view.
Sandy Toxic.
A pressed hot tips for today and a picture of Tony Blair has come up.
With the latest information and the best in entertainment and conversation, just some of the names you'll find here.
On the new
LBC 97.3. Tuned in to London.
LBC 97.3
with Jane Moore and John Nicholson.
It's 6:48. Now, I don't know what the rest of you want to know about with the financial markets, but I know what I want to know about, and that's the house that I'm buying at the moment. Should I pull out or should I stay with that sale? And we've got Charlie Gibson with us, who's our financial editor, who's hopefully going to give us some lots of advice.
Well, I'll do the best I can. I think I've got a man here who can do better than that. I've got Jeremy Leaf from the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors. Now, I suppose the relevance of your question is this Association of Residential Letting Agents survey, which has just come out, showing that national average gross rental returns. Now, this is buy to let, so I suppose it comes back to the question, you know, why are you buying your house? Is it to live in, or is this as an
investment?
Oh, no,
this is for me to live in, but every day I read the papers and it's like, you know, the housing market's going to crash, and I go, no.
Well, a lot of people are deciding, aren't they, not to put the money into pensions and even club together to buy a flat or something that they can rent out, because they think property prices are going to appreciate so much and the money's going to be better than in their collapsing pension plans. I mean, are they right?
Well, I suppose this is the question. And what this report says is that now the gross rental return, which is basically is what you get back per year in gross terms, that's before any costs to you, you divide that by the cost of the house you're paying for, and it's fallen from 6.3% to 6.1%, which I don't think is a great return on a rental property. But I'm going to bring in Jeremy. take a mortgage, your costs would be greater than, you know, it's going to be base plus one or plus one and a half, so you're already up to 5.5%. And then if you're getting 6%, on your gross rental return, yeah. You take off a few costs, it looks like you're going to be lower than your...
Well, what's probably more important is actually the net return, because what you actually have in your pocket at the end of the day after paying out all your expenses, that's probably, you know, just as relevant, or perhaps more relevant to your decision to go in and out. But a lot of... or out of the market. But a lot of people are looking at the capital growth that they've experienced over the last, say, 6 to 9 months, and that's driving that buy-to-let market perhaps more than the immediate returns and the time a property is empty.
So what does it mean? You're not concerned then by the fact that gross rental returns are 6%? That wouldn't bother you?
Well, it depends on what's driving the particular investor. The investor that's perhaps over-geared themselves, taken out too much of a loan, seeing that the property is taking a long time to let, those are the people that are perhaps being a little bit more vulnerable, and they're going to have more impact on the market, because the market's really changing. It's entering quite an interesting phase. As John was saying, we're seeing a lot of reports suggesting that the market is certainly going to come back from where it was last year. And as a result, if that's the case, we're not actually seeing any collapse or expecting to see any collapse, because the fundamentals are still very much in place.
But there's an awful lot of to-let signs around, because, I mean, I noticed the ones around where I live, and they're not letting out these houses. And you think mortgage rates are so low at the moment, but that actually people are now thinking, well, I might as well buy somewhere, because then I own it rather than pay rent.
There's all these anonymous flats that all look exactly the same that people have bought to try and make a quick buck renting out. And, you know, why should you? One looks the same as the other, and they're all very overpriced.
I think this is the point, because a lot of people were attracted into that market, not very happy with returns from the stock market and elsewhere, and perhaps jumped into the market thinking, whatever I buy, it's going to show me a great return, without perhaps actually taking good advice and seeing what tenants actually want. There's still plenty of tenants out there. It's just finding the right property to meet their needs.
That said, I mean, I could have shoved my pension plan under my bed and I'd have done rather better with the money. My I've got a financial advisor who said, oh, you've done terribly well. You've only lost 10,000. You know, I've been paying into it since I was about seven.
That is a fantastically good return.
Yeah, absolutely. Should be 20 at least.
But Jeremy, how far can gross rental yields fall, do you think? 6%? I mean, where would you expect them to go? Where, if you like, is there a point at which there is an indication that the housing market is going to fall? Because even the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors came out with a report, what, for December? And it wasn't that upbeat, was it?
Well, no, it's not really. I don't think we concentrate necessarily on the crude figures, because, as I say, a lot of people are in the buy-to-let market. They're looking at returns, and they've seen a great deal of capital growth over the last year, and that is what's driving them. If they're not particularly heavily geared, then that won't influence them quite so much. But when you see, as John was saying, the returns or lack of returns available elsewhere, then property doesn't look quite such a bad bet. Where do you put your money? You've got to have somewhere to put your money.
In the mattress.
Does property ever go down these days? It never seems to go down. It just sort of levels off a bit.
Well, it tends not to rise quite as much as it has done
in the past. But that's no bad thing. If you buy a property and you think, right, in 20 years' time, that's my pension.
There's a man with a short memory, isn't there? I mean, if we go back 10 years...
I know, but 10 years ago, yeah, but it hasn't happened in 10 years. Is it cyclical? Does it go every 12 years? Are we in for
it's
another...
It's very, very difficult to generalise. I think some property prices, certainly in parts of central London, we've actually seen them, you know, falling in some cases.
But isn't that just because they were so inflated in the first
place? Exactly. I was just going to say, the places or the areas where the prices have risen the furthest and the fastest, those are the ones that tend to come off the quickest.
Yeah. And it depends where you buy as well. I mean, the more miserable travel gets in London, the more people are going to want to live next to tube stations, aren't they? So they don't have to do that terrible schlep across London. Mm. And they're the properties, presumably, that are going to keep their prices.
I think the lesson must be is to look at the areas of London or the areas that you want to live in, you want to buy, and see how the market is. The market's really quite healthy in certain areas. It's not as bad as...
Where would you buy a place tomorrow? Come on. The inside. We need the inside.
Join the queue.
Tell us at 1 minute to nine, then we can all rush out.
I went to an auction the other week, and they were selling a derelict house in Hackney that had been squatted, that nobody had got to see. It went for £530,000, which is quite breathtaking, even by London standards. Listen, let's return to this later on, but in the meanwhile, we're going to cross over to Richard Mitson, our reporter, who's at the Hackney Siege. Richard, what's the latest?
Good morning to you, John.
Morning.
Well, I can tell you down here this morning it's very quiet at the moment, but that silence is broken every so often by a loud speaker, which is coming from the police, from what we think is a psychologist, and also there's another woman's voice as well. That all started this morning, but basically the reports are after yesterday. The hostage obviously got out yesterday afternoon. He was taken to hospital for a checkup. We don't know that many more details about him. But after that, in the evening, there are reports that there was another shot. And since then, they've heard nothing from the man inside. So at the moment, still very much a tense standoff. They keep calling out, saying, come out, give yourself up, pick up the phone, let us know that you're okay.
Richard, you say there's a psychologist broadcasting to this man. What does that mean? He's standing outside with a microphone shouting, you know, sort of psychological things at him. What does that mean?
Quite literally, at the moment, how the police are describing this is that they're having to treat this in a very, very softly, softly way. Obviously, they were very concerned about this hostage that was inside before.
Did he escape?
Yeah, he's out now, isn't he?
Sorry, did we find out? Did he escape or was he released? Do we know that for certain yet?
It's still not entirely clear. No, we haven't heard that. I mean, how the police have described it is they said that he took an opportunity to escape.
The basic thing is, Richard, he's now not in there. So why are we namby-pambying about outside with psychologists and loudspeakers? Why don't they just go in there and sort this out?
Presumably they don't want to kill him.
Well, this is the big question. I mean, how
well,
they decide,
do they have
I
to kill
that
him?
To them this morning, and they said, this is the thing. The whole procedure is softly, softly. As you say, he hasn't really got a bargaining chip anymore if police wanted to go in. But remember, he's already fired at them. When they went in there the first time to try and arrest him, he's obviously capable of firing at police.
Yeah, but they can wear body armour.
They don't want themselves to get hurt, and their whole policy is not to hurt him as well. They want a peaceful resolution to this.
But meanwhile, the whole of Hackney, or the surrounding street, people can't get on with their lives, they can't go to work, they can't... You know, something has to be sorted out. Where are the Sweeney when you need them?
Are the residents in favour of this softly, softly approach? I mean, are they prepared to put up with the inconvenience in order to keep this man alive?
Certainly the people I've spoken to this morning seem to have a very mixed reaction. Obviously, there's some people here who've got a bit of a voyeuristic attitude, and they've come down just to try and watch and see what's happening. But some people are quite in favour of the softly, softly approach. But you have to remember that this has affected a lot of residents as well. Well, there were 43 residents currently, and that includes 7 children who are currently holed up in their homes. Now, those 7 children, obviously, school starts again today. They can't get to school today. There were 150 residents also evacuated.
This needs to be sorted out, Richard, I think. We'll come back to you later for an update on that. Thank you very much. It's 6:57 now to the LBC Travel Centre with Karen Mercer.
This time check was brought to you by Heathrow Express, the non-stop way between central London and Heathrow Airport.
Timing is everything.
Well, if you're heading out onto the motorways, this accident on the M40, it's on the southbound side of the M40 between Junction 4 for Handycross and Junction 3 for Wickham East, is causing some southbound delays, traffic having to squeeze through with 2 lanes closed off, and the council, we've been told, will be gritting this extremely icy stretch of the road soon. Roads across London also affected by these icy conditions, so do be careful, it's very slippery out there in places. M23 was blocked by an earlier crash, southbound traffic is now struggling from Junction 9 for Gatwick Airport to Junction 10 for the Crawley Link. Into the west of town, there's a crash on Sussex Gardens. This road is completely closed off in both directions between Edgware Road and Sell Place. And we had reports earlier that Graham Road in Hackney had reopened between Mare Street and Navarino Road. This is not the situation at all. The road is still shut in both directions because of that ongoing siege that you've been hearing about in the news. For the tubes, no service on the Waterloo and City line. This is due to a signal failure. This is Karen Mercer in the LBC 97.3 Travel Centre with Charsonic, the driving force in home entertainment.
Hello? What? I'm in Hong Kong doing Tai Chi. Yeah, totally zenned out, actually. With British Airways. Absolute bargain. Oi! Shut up! I'm trying to chill out!
British Airways world offers are now on sale. Fly to Hong Kong from £399 return or Rio from £469 return. Book by January the 14th at ba.com and get your first night's accommodation for only £20 per person. Conditions apply.
6:59. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Sir Elton John, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too.
That's going to be fabulous.
One of my favourites.
We're also going to be talking to John Denham, who's the Home Office Minister for Police and Crime Reduction. Obviously, he's going to have a lot to say on the gun crime that's currently...
We're also going to have more lunacy from the papers with Roland, and more on the Hackney siege too. It's just coming up to 7 o'clock.
This is LBC 97.3, London.
In the news at 7, in court today, a man charged over the Camden bin bag bodies. Day 12 of the Hackney siege. The man is still in there, and you'll never have guessed. We went and won the final test. Good morning, I'm Howard Hughes. In court today, a man accused of the Camden bin bag murders. 51-year-old Anthony John Hardy from Royal College Street was charged last night with killing three women. Two of them are the women whose dismembered remains were found last week. The third is Sally Ann White, whose body was found at Hardy's flat last January. As Sky's Joey Jones explains, police were suspicious of her death then. Well, we seem to have a problem with that piece of sound. Apologies for that. Let's press on with the news. Armed police officers hope a man holed up in a Hackney flat for a dozen days will give himself up. After his hostage escaped, the man who seems unhurt has been talking to detectives. Most locals have now been allowed back to their homes. Commander Bob Quick hopes this ends peacefully. A terrifying carjack in Essex, a man held captive for 6 hours. It happened in Wickford. Two men leapt into his car as he got back in from delivering a takeaway meal. He was eventually let go, apparently unhurt. Later, the government's tipped to lay out plans to put anybody caught with an illegal gun in jail for 5 years. The Home Secretary's idea comes after the murders of two teenage girls in Birmingham. The latest shooting in London was in Hounslow over the weekend. Norman Brennan from the Victims of Crime Trust tells LBC this problem is everybody's.
Renewing with a staff shortage there. An update on the situation for Virgin West Coast. If you're heading out between Oxford and Reading, buses are replacing trains there because of some flooding problems. They're also looking at disruption for Thames train services as well. Southwest trains, Staines to Windsor and Eastern Riverside, they've been disrupted with flooding. Buses operating instead along a stretch of the line. Now, an update on the situation in Hackney. Mayor Street, that's open, but Graham Road's still closed off with that ongoing siege we've been hearing about on LBC News. M40 junctions 4 to 3. That's into town handy cross towards Wickham. Got an outside lane taken out there. Very icy and slippery as well with that accident to watch out for. And Sussex Gardens closed off out towards Paddington between Edgware Road and Sale Place. LBC News with travel and weather every 10 minutes.
Travel with Sharsonic, the driving force in home entertainment.
London's weather, mainly dry across London, and there'll be some spells of sunshine as well. In Bethnal Green right now, it's 0 Celsius.
The suspect in the Camden bin bags murders appears in court later, charged with killing three women. 51-year-old Anthony John Hardy from Royal College Street in Camden is accused of killing Sally Rose White in January last year, as well as Elizabeth Varled and another unidentified woman in the last few weeks. He is due before Hendon Magistrates Court. It follows the discovery of the dismembered body parts of two women in bin bags in Camden last week. LBC's Moira Alderson reports.
A tramp made the gruesome discovery of body parts in bin bags in North London almost a week ago. Police were called to the area in Camden and more remains were found. Officers searched the nearby flat of Anthony John Hardy and discovered the torso of a woman. The 51-year-old's accused of killing prostitute Elizabeth Vallad and an unidentified woman last month. He's also been charged with murdering Sally Rose White in January last year.
LBC's Maura Alderson reporting.
Well, LBC's Tom Bateman has the background on the woman Hardy is charged with killing.
Two of the women died on or before Monday last week. Dismembered remains of 29-year-old prostitute Elizabeth Vallard from Nottingham and another unidentified woman were found by a tramp in bin bags in Camden a week ago. Miss Vallard, who had English and Iranian parents, moved to London from Nottingham 12 years ago when she was aged just 17. She was identified by police forensics teams by her breast implants. Parts of her legs and torso were found, but but her head and hands are still missing. Hardy is also charged with murdering another woman, Sally Rose White, who was found dead in Camden nearly a year ago.
A man held hostage during an 11-day siege in an East London flat has been released. He is said to be uninjured and has taken or been taken to a police station. A man with a gun is still believed to be holed up in the property in Hackney. Sky reporter Joey Jones has more.
It's been a long 10 days or so for the residents of this Hackney street. Some have been forced to leave their homes. Others are still barricaded inside. Detectives say they've had no choice but to handle the siege in this way, and they have the support of local politicians. Negotiations are continuing with the man in the flat. Without his hostage now and without heat and light in the building, residents are hopeful he may not hold out much longer.
Sky reporter Joey Jones.
Well, a man will appear in court later in connection with the Hackney hostage siege. 22-year-old Junior Skerritt from Brixton is accused of trying to smuggle cannabis to a gunman holed up in the East London flat. He faces two counts of possession with intent to supply.
Child protection services run by London councils are likely to come in for heavy criticism later in the report into the killing of Victoria Columbier. Ministers will see the official report into the murder of the 8-year-old in North London, but it won't be made public for several weeks. Victoria was abused by her aunt and her aunt's boyfriend in Tottenham.
LBC News at 7:05 now. Foreign Secretary Jack Straw has condemned a double suicide bombing in Israel, which killed at least 15 people and wounded more than 50 others. The explosions, the first bombing in an Israeli city since November, ripped through a busy area of central Tel Aviv yesterday. Mr. Straw said he utterly condemns what he calls an appalling act of violence. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has also condemned the attack.
All attempts to reach a ceasefire, even today, are failing due to the Palestinian leadership that continues to support, fund and initiate terror.
But this Hamas spokesman says they have sufficient justification for the suicide bombers.
We are seeking independence and freedom, and we are struggling for that, defending our people, defending our issue, defending our holy places, Jerusalem, defending our land, and resistance will continue.
LBC News time, it's now 7:06.
Oh, I don't feel like lunch.
Just try it. It's delicious.
I don't feel like shopping.
Mel!
I know we're out for my birthday, but I just feel rough.
Here, try this. Boot Maximum Strength Direct Dose comes in 10 handy sachets you can take anywhere. No water, no fuss. There's no easier cold and flu remedy to take.
Now how do you feel? Well,
Boots Maximum Strength Cold and Flu Relief Direct Dose. Contains paracetamol. Always read the label.
LBC News at 7:07. Police say they're confident they'll catch the Birmingham party killers. Prayers have been said for the two teenage girls shot dead in suspected gang warfare. In London, an Asian man was shot this morning. The incident took place in Hounslow just before midday. The government's preparing to crack down on gun crime with a major summit this week. But Shadow Home Office Minister Dominic Grieve says action must follow words.
We're loud on rhetoric, but in fact we rarely seem to be able to put in constructive policing practices which will in fact reduce the incidence of this type of offence.
Shadow Home Office Minister Dominic Grieve.
Home Secretary David Blunkett is also expected to confirm that if you are caught illegally carrying a firearm, you will be jailed for 5 long years. Norman Brennan of the Victims of Crime Trust agrees things must change.
Not only is violent crime out of control, gun crime is out of control, and I really think the whole of this nation needs to wake up, work with the police, and be supported by a criminal justice system that supports the public rather than fouls them, which is what it does at the moment.
Norman Brennan of the Victims of Crime Trust.
LBC News at 7:08. On average, 3 children in every London classroom suffer from dyslexia. But groundbreaking progress is being made in treating the condition, and it's thanks to a new 6-week computer program which is unveiled later in Waterloo. Dyslexia sufferer and Olympic swimming champion Duncan Goodhue has completed the Bright Star course and has told us the results were staggering.
Dyslexia is, in a sense, like being in a fog. You know, you can't see information very
very well. Reading's difficult, spelling's difficult, retrieval of information is difficult. And it was like having the fog lift. And suddenly everything was much clearer.
LBC News time, it's 7.09.
And England have finally, I don't know whether to get the champagne out now or wait, or brown ale. England have finally beaten Australia, winning the fifth and final Ashes test in Sydney by 225 runs. Andy Caddick was the hero, taking 7 wickets. More sport with John Cushing for you, of course, later in this hour.
And of course, we can hardly wait for that one, can we, Peter? It's 7.09 now. Get out the Bucks Fizz. Well, time now to get more details on one of the lead stories this morning here on LBC News. Police are still trying to bring to an end the Hackney hostage crisis, which has now entered its 12th day. I think that makes it the longest siege in British history or something like that. Well, it comes after a hostage was released by the gunman holed up in the flat off Marvin Street. LBC News Tom Bateman has been speaking to Commander Bob Quick, who's leading the police's armed operation. He started by asking him why police can't do more to bring the standoff to an end.
We have to remember this man has discharged firearms at police officers. He is dangerous. He represents a significant risk to himself, the local community and police officers who may be called upon to deal with him. So we're taking it one step at a time, but some level of rapport is slowly being developed, but negotiations are often tense and sometimes quite difficult. But our commitment absolutely is to try and resolve this peacefully, and we're pursuing a strategy of peaceful persuasion to try and make him see sense and realise that the most sensible thing to do is to come out of the premises unarmed and give himself up.
And to reflect some of the concerns of many local residents there who were saying, you know, there must be a dozen and one ways to end this. I mean, we know that the man isn't making any demands, if that's still the case. I mean, really, why can't we bring this to an end sooner?
Because all of the other options involve a significant level of risk. Overwhelmingly, if you analyse these types of situations across the country as they occur from time to time, patience and persuasion by far outweighs any other option in terms of its success.
Tom Bateman was talking there to Commander Bob Quick. LBC News, it's 7.11. Time now for the latest travel with Andy McCall. Andy.
Thanks, Sue. We've still got the problems. Watch out for coming into town this morning on the M40, junctions 4 to 3. We've now got 2 lanes closed off there with an accident from earlier on. Very icy as well. The council allowed again gritting off the road fairly shortly, we're told. M23 confirmed now a smash if you're making your way southbound, junctions 9 to 10. That's from Gatwick towards the Crawley Link. To the west of town, and Sussex Gardens still closed off there from the Edgware Road towards Sale Place. That's with quite a serious accident, we understand. M11, looking a little slow as usual, make your way southbound from junctions 5 towards 4, flats from Lytton towards Charlie Bryan's. AA Road Watch also reporting a bit of heavy traffic flow. M25, junctions 29 through 28, that's the 127 Southern Arterial towards the A12. Really crawling its way into town on the A2, that's 5 miles per hour from Elton towards the Sun and Sands, and queuing all the way from the Woolwich Road flyover in towards the Blackwall Tunnel. Graham Road and Hackney, that's still closed off from Mare Street to Navarino Road. And to public transport, well, now we're looking at longer to wait for services on the East London line. That's with the signal problems at Surrey Quays. But still, the Piccadilly line remains closed at the Holloway Road station. LBC News with travel and weather every 10 minutes.
Travel with Sharsonic, the driving force in home entertainment. LBC News, 11:52. London's weather with Joint Ace Fizz, effective joint support for sport.
In Highbury right now, it's currently 0 Celsius, 32 Fahrenheit. Later, it'll reach 4, that's 39 though. Well, mainly dry across London with spells of sunshine today. Tonight's going to be cloudy with some snow showers in places, feeling cold and frosty with a minimum temperature of minus 2 degrees Celsius, that's 28 Fahrenheit. Tomorrow, early snow showers. It's going to turn dry and sunny later, but feeling bitterly cold. Looking ahead then to the next few days, and Wednesday is going to be bright, crisp and cold once again. Thursday, cloudy and slightly warmer. Friday, a bright and cold day. Saturday, into the weekend, partly cloudy, but it is going to feel a bit warmer because of that cloud. And Sunday, another quite cloudy and a mild day.
LBC News Time, it's 7:13. Bloomberg Business News, live from the city now, Tim Williamson.
Thanks, Peter. All eyes are on the high street this week. The shop has kept the UK growing faster than Europe's other large economies. Now, that could be set to change. The industry group, the CBI, has already reported pre-Christmas holiday retail sales fell for the first time since 1992. This week, Next, Signet and Selfridges all deliver statements on their Christmas performance. Also, watch Alders. The Financial Times reports retail entrepreneur Tom Hunter wants to buy the UK's fourth biggest department store chain and combine it with larger rival House of Fraser. Shares that may fall in the FTSE 100 member BHP Billiton, the world's largest mining company, dropped 4% in Australian trading after CEO Brian Gilbertson resigned in a boardroom dispute. Also watch airline stocks like British Airways. The Dutch carrier KLM has just cut its profit outlook. The FTSE 100 starts the day at 40.04 after enjoying its biggest gain last week since August. Optimism over President Bush's economic stimulus package to be unveiled tomorrow boosted stocks in Tokyo. The Nikkei closed up 1.6%. Beg your pardon, at 87.13. That's it for now. More Bloomberg Business News in half an hour.
Thank you, Tim. LBC News 11:52. The news headlines next.
Learning Turkish. Lesson 3. Winning a holiday. A ticket for the Schroeder's London Boat Show, please.
Schroeder's Londra Kayık Gösterisi'ne bir bilet alabilir miyim, lütfen?
I think I'll enter the free prize draw.
Ödül çekilişine girmek istiyorum.
I don't believe it. I've won.
İnanmıyorum. Kazandım. Kazandım.
To celebrate the Turkish-themed Schroeder's London Boat Show in association with the Daily Telegraph from the 2nd to the 12th of January, Sunsail are offering you the chance to win one of £50,000 worth of water sports holidays in Turkey. You don't even have to learn Turkish. Call 0115-9129-111 or visit londonboatshow.net for tickets. No purchase necessary. Contact Boat Show for details.
London's headline news from LBC News, 11:52.
A man has been charged in connection with the bin bag killings in North London. Anthony Hardy is accused of murdering three women. He will appear before magistrates later.
A man's been arrested in Germany after he stole a plane and threatened to crash it into the European Central Bank. He circled the light aircraft around Frankfurt city centre for almost an hour before landing it safely.
Not very nice this morning, is it? An armed man remains holed up in Hackney this morning, making it Britain's longest ever siege. Yesterday, a hostage left the house. Police have been guarding since Boxing Day.
Tony Blair has led tribute to the former Labour Home Secretary and Chancellor Roy Jenkins, who died suddenly at the age of 82 over the weekend. Lord Jenkins, described as the grandfather of New Labour, collapsed at home. More coming up on that for you in just a few moments.
The government's called a gun summit with senior police officers. It comes, of course, as concern grows about rising gun crime in London and the murder of two teenagers in Birmingham after a New Year party.
LBC News Time at 11:52 a.m. Non-stop news for London. Good morning, I'm Sue Mansfield.
And I'm Peter Dealey. Tributes are being paid this morning to Roy Jenkins, one of Westminster's most respected politicians, who collapsed and died at his home in Oxfordshire over the weekend. The 82-year-old former Labour Chancellor will be best, of course, remembered for his defection to form the SDP in 1981. LBC News political correspondent Mark Demery joins us now. Mark, he has earned the title of the grandfather of New Labour. That is either a slight or it's a compliment. What is it?
Well, it's a slight, I suppose, when it comes from Tony Benn, who made the quote. But it's a measure of Roy Jenkins' impact on British politics over more than the last half century that Tony Blair, a rival politician in many respects, the leader of a different party, somebody against whom Roy Jenkins was supposed to be competing as a member of the Liberal Democrats, could call him a friend and support to me, and as great a man as many who held the office of Prime Minister. Roy Jenkins, in many respects, the political philosophy he set out, the kind of policies he wanted to pursue when he and the rest of the Gang of Four made the Limehouse Declaration, the prelude to setting up the SDP, that was the baton which Tony Blair picked up from within the Labour Party. But there are still many, many within the Labour Party, like Tony Benn, former Chancellor Healey, who see Roy Jenkins as the traitor who let them down.
And tributes, obviously, flooding in. Who have we heard from so far, Mark?
Well, tributes of many different kinds. From Healy without Roy, Thatcher would never have happened. Well, that's perhaps an overstatement of the issue. From Liberal Democrat leader Charles Kennedy, a warm tribute to somebody who said was a great ally and a great friend. Lord Tebbit, never perhaps on cosy terms with Roy Jenkins, said even his old opponents will be sad at his passing.
Do you believe, actually, that the living legend, or the living legacy, rather, that Jenkins will leave, will be that, however the SDP ended up or didn't, that that Labour was forever changed, that somehow, whether he intended to or not, somehow he changed Labour and indeed the political landscape forever? And did he ever talk about that?
Well, certainly when the Limehouse Declaration was made, when the SDP was set up, when there was the alliance going, they talked a lot, Roy Jenkins talked a lot about changing the face of British politics.
Yeah.
And they achieved that, even if they didn't do it in quite the way they wanted. They did not become the formidable force then in British politics that they had hoped. They did not overtake Labour and become the main challenge to the Conservatives, but they forced, if you like, Labour to change. The successive defeats that Labour suffered in the 1980s forced Labour to change. It led to Kinnock, led to Tony Blair, led to the changes in the Labour Party, which, as Tony Benner said, you know, made him to a certain extent the grandfather of New Labour. He pointed the way, even if others within his old party were the people who had to effect that change within the Labour Party. And now, I suppose, optimists certainly in the Liberal Democrats would say not only that, but he's led the way to changing who's going to be the opposition to that New Labour Party, because the Liberal Democrats are in the strongest position they've been in for over 60 years as a third political force. Who knows what's going to happen over the next few years? Perhaps they'll achieve their ambition of seriously challenge the Tories as the second party of British politics. Is Labour changed forever? I think that's Lord Jenkins would have a much more long-term view than looking ahead to the next few years. The party could change back again. It's by no means certainly set in stone as Tony Blair's image, if you like. And I think Roy Jenkins' greatest achievement in many respects, beyond the political impact he's had on British society over the last 50 years or so, will be his work as a man of letters. And he wasn't so simply confined to one sphere of achievement. And his great biographies on so many British prime ministers, Attlee, Baldwin, Asquith, more recently his great book on Churchill, his biography of Truman, all those make him a great academic and literary figure beyond his political achievements. And that will last in our libraries and in our institutions perhaps longer than we will remember him as a politician.
Emery, thank you very much indeed.
And coming up in sport, England win in Australia, and it's certainly no joke. That's next, that's after the travel news for London with Andy. And that's coming up now, in fact, at 7:21. Travel for London. Andy, how's it looking out there at the moment? Pretty busy, I guess, Monday morning?
That's right, Sue. Of course, the first day back for a number of Londoners, and we've got some fresh problems now. The M11 junction 6 to 7, that's the M25 towards Harlow. Got an accident there. It's blocking the carriageway completely. We've been warned now, and some lengthy tailbacks stacking up already. Let's just flick over to look at one of the real-time screens, in fact, and see how things are coping there. And it is looking fairly grim, I must say. 5 miles per hour, in fact, coming in towards town, just past Harlow, the onlookers as well. The M4 really stacking up now from the Heathrow Spur towards Junction 2, heading towards the elevated section. Also coming up from the southeast of town, the old favourite there is, of course, the Blackwell Tunnel Southern Approach. That's stacking back towards the Woolwich Road flyover and back beyond the Kibbutz lights as well. We've still got the problems as well to watch out for. If you're heading towards the M40, Junctions 4 to 3, we've got a smash with 2 lanes taken out. Very icy as well, we've been told, around parts of the southeast. The situation ongoing over at Paddington, Sussex Gardens remains closed off both ways from Edgware Road to Sale Place. And now some problems here on Kentish Town Road, Royal College Road towards Tottenham Court Road. We've got a closure on the southbound there with an accident. LBC News of travel and weather every 10 minutes.
Travel with Sharsonic, the driving force in home entertainment.
Weather chilly, but some nice bright spells today. Current temperature right now of -1 Celsius in Barnes.
Sport now with John Cushing. John, good morning.
Good morning. England's cricketers have restored some pride by winning the fifth and final Ashes Test Down Under. They bowled Australia out for 226 in Sydney to secure a 225-run win and avoid the 5-0 series whitewash. Andrew Caddick was one of the heroes with 7 wickets in the second innings. Batsman Michael Vaughan was also named Man of the Match and Man of the Series after hitting 3 centuries. He was delighted.
And we mustn't forget that we've lost 4-1, but you've got to enjoy the moment. We're playing probably one of the best Test teams ever. We've finally beaten them, and beaten them convincingly.
For England skipper Nasser Hussain, it was a moment to savour after a long, hard winter.
I enjoy every game against Australia because they play it tough. There's a few bits of chat out there. They come at you, and afterwards they shake your hand and look you in the eye, and you've either gained their respect or you haven't, and it's simple as that.
This morning's other top sports stories: Fulham, Liverpool and First Division Wolves are into this lunchtime's fourth round draw of the FA Cup. Fulham easily beat Premiership rivals Birmingham in West London yesterday, 3-1. Louis Saha scored on the third on his return from injury. Liverpool won 1-0 at Man City, a win that pleased under pressure manager Gerard Houllier.
The fact that we won here is I would say, massive for the club, massive for the fans and for the players themselves, because it would probably give them a sort of a psychological boost.
First Division Wolves also caused a shock by knocking at Newcastle, 3-2 at Molineux.
We've had cross words, we've been angry with each other, we've spit and blood in the dressing room. This was a cruel defeat for this club.
The fantastic Bobby Robson rather angry there after his side came from 2 down before Dulwich-born Georgian Dar hit the winner for Wolves. Now, it's thought Chelsea will lodge an appeal to the FA later against Carlo Cudicini sending off in their FA Cup win at the weekend. Middlesbrough striker Dean Windass bundled the Italian into the back of his net at Stamford Bridge, but the goalkeeper was shown the red card for allegedly kneeing Windass. TV replays, though, show he didn't. Everton have dismissed reports that they've done a deal with Real Madrid concerning Wayne Rooney. Newspapers claim the Spanish giants have first refusal if they want to sign the wonder kid. And London Leopards moved into 8th place in the British Basketball League last night after a derby win against London Towers. The Brentwood-based team winning 76-73. Rod Brown was the hero of the hour with 20 points and 10 rebounds. LBC Sport, more in half an hour.
John, thank you. LBC News, it's now 7:25.
This time check was brought to you by Heathrow Express, which, unlike this announcement, doesn't have any stops.
Timing is everything.
London Gatwick has seen its fair share of grand arrivals, from Hollywood superstars and sporting heroes, from pop stars to royal households. But perhaps London Gatwick's most celebrated arrival is only now boarding. Monarch scheduled. Regular flights to Alicante, Faro and Malaga, and lower fares when you book online by January the 13th at flymonarch.com. Web fares from £39 one way. Monarch scheduled. Service included. Conditions apply.
Reporting now on what Londoners are waking up to in the newspapers this morning, and I have the Times in front of me. Aren't I lucky? Tories failed to cash in on Blair's slump. Ian Duncan Smith faces a collapse of confidence in his leadership among Conservative supporters, according to a new poll, which will fuel speculation, of course, among MPs, that he might not stay very much longer.
They don't get tired of that story, really, do they?
No.
Well, also reporting on Roy Jenkins, of course, the man who broke the mould dies at 82. Tony Blair last night leading tributes to Lord Jenkins of Hillhead, the former Labour Home Secretary, who died suddenly yesterday morning at the age of 82. That's the lead story in the Telegraph. They say Lord Jenkins, the grandfather of New Labour, dies at 82. Obviously the same story there, he was 82. And their second story: friendly fire threat to Gulf troops. British troops should not have been sent to fight in Iraq unless a system's in place to prevent accidental attacks by American aircraft. That's according to a retired senior officer whose unit was bombed in a friendly fire incident during the 1991 Gulf War.
The Independent has this: a national child protection service may be set up by the government to halt the tide of abuse scandals that have exposed failures in the system that is supposed to stop children being harmed, of course. And also the headline: Tesco and Asda declare a fresh price war. What a surprise! The UK's largest supermarkets are gearing up for a pricing standoff as Tesco and Asda begin a new wave of price cuts today that their competitors are reluctant to match.
It would be nice if that hits the petrol pumps as well, as I know to my cost already. Financial Times: UN inspectors provoke Iraq ire, United Nations, that's a word you don't see very much, United Nations weapons inspectors flexed their muscles yesterday, according to the Financial Times, with a visit to the complex housing Iraq's own arms monitoring directorate, provoking outrage from senior Baghdad officials.
Just want to move quickly to The Sun, of course, the main tabloid story this morning. Telestar Cilla Black, well, one of
you
the main
You couldn't resist
ones.
That one, could you?
Cilla Black told yesterday how she quit Blind Date live on air after her husband sent a message from beyond the grave.
Pretty spooky. Let's leave that.
There's a talented boy. Don't you think?
What, telling her to stop?
Well, who knows? I'm not one to say this doesn't happen.
Never say that, Peter. Right, let's move on now. And checking the latest showbiz headlines for London, Rory Bremner's kickstarting his new series of satire with an Iraq special. The Impressionist is hoping to open people's eyes to the prospect of war by making them laugh at the bizarreness of international politics. Rory's carved a niche for himself, taking the mickey out of politicians. But he says Osama bin Laden has been a tough challenge.
I played bin Laden for the first time, which is an interesting little couple of hours in makeup for the beard. And even more interesting, I had to get somebody to translate because bin Laden's English. It's just these tapes. So there is a new bin Laden tape in circulation, except it's one that we did in a basement in Croydon.
LBC News time. It's 7:29. What can we say to that? London's latest headlines are next.
London Gatwick has seen its fair share of grand arrivals, from Hollywood superstars and sporting heroes, from pop stars to royal households. But perhaps London Gatwick's most celebrated arrival is only now boarding. Monarch scheduled. Regular flights to Alicante, Faro and Malaga, and lower fares when you book online by January the 13th at flymonarch.com. Web fares from £39 one way. Monarch scheduled. Service included. Conditions apply.
Non-stop news for London. This is LBC News, 11:52.
And at 7:30, Monday the 6th of January, I'm Peter Dealey.
I'm Sue Mansfield, London's headline stories this hour.
Camden man in court over bodies in bin bags inquiry.
It's quite clear that detectives believe they've uncovered significant new evidence in order to bring the charge that they have done.
Condemnation from London after a double suicide bombing in Israel.
And the Barmy Army have been celebrating after England's cricketers claimed their first win against Australia. I'm John Cushing and I'll have the latest sport for London in just over 20 minutes.
In business news at 30 minutes past, one of Europe's biggest airlines cuts its profit forecast.
The FTSE reopens later at 40:04.
Plus, what is making the newspaper back pages this morning? Sport papers review coming later.
LBC News 11:52. Travel now. And let's head over to Andy McCall. Andy, what's the latest?
Well, it's looking fairly tricky, Sue, on the M11. If you're making your way out of town this morning, junction 6 to 7, that's the M25 towards Harlow. We've got the carriageway completely blocked there. Police at the scene of an accident, but some lengthy tailbacks have already stacked up. I'm just bringing up on the real-time screens right now, and you maybe think to yourself, well, that's northbound, doesn't really affect me. But if you're coming into town this morning, 10 miles per hour there, from junction 7 towards 6, so fairly miserable no matter which way you're going. We can also see the western stretch of the M25 is back to normal business there, I'm afraid. Business as usual. Around that northwestern stretch, junctions 21 through towards 17. That's from the M1 right through towards Maple Cross. We get speeds in places down to about 10 or 15 miles per hour. We can see the Surrey stretch as well stacking up now from just climbing up around junction 8 through towards 9. That's up Reigate still towards Leatherhead. And again on the brakes through junctions 11 at Chertsey and round junction 13 at Staines in the clockwise carriageway. Busy coming in on the A2 as well. Usual misery there for you. Approaching the Blackwall Tunnel. Southern approach to Kew's back past Eltham. LBC News with travel and weather every 10 minutes.
Travel with Sharsonic, the driving force in home entertainment.
And London's weather, bright but chilly today in Chelsea. It's currently 0 Celsius at 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
In court in London later, the man accused of the Camden bin bag murders, 51-year-old Anthony John Hardy from Royal College Street, was charged last night with killing three women. Two of them are the women whose dismembered remains were found last week. Hardy is also accused of killing Sally Rose White in January last year. As Sky's Joey Jones explains now for LBC News, her body was found in his flat in Camden.
At that time, police inquiries suggested that she had died from a heart attack, but it's quite clear that detectives believe they've uncovered significant new evidence in order to bring the charge that they have done.
LBC's Joey Jones.
Police have still to formally identify a 36-year-old woman whose body parts were also found in bins behind the College Arms pub in Camden. It's thought her family are still being told about her death. To look back at the details of our top story here on LBC News, the investigation began when police were informed that several limbs had been taken to the National Hospital for Tropical Diseases in Camden by their finder, prompting major searches in the area, which turned up more body parts. A special service was held in Camden yesterday to pray for the women whose body parts were found not far from the church. LBC News time. It's now 7:33.
Post-Christmas London. 1.5 million broken resolutions per week. 12,000 giggly aunties per evening. 430 unwanted hand-knitted jumpers per day. One offer to put it all behind you this new year.
Get back into London with the Evening Standard. Enjoy a memorable meal at a Conran restaurant with a glass of Perrier Jouet champagne for just £15 per person. Don't miss this exclusive Conran offer only in today's Evening Standard. Conditions
apply. A man held hostage
during an 11-day siege in an East London flat has escaped. He's said to be uninjured and has been taken to a police station. A man with a gun is still believed to be holed up in the property in Hackney. A shot was heard just after the hostage walked free, but Sky's Joey Jones in Hackney says the hostage taker is still in the flat.
The siege goes on, but it's quite clear that the negotiators, who've been working for more than 10 days now, do seem to be making some sort of progress. And obviously, that will be music to the ears of the local people here, many of whom have had to move out of their houses.
And we'll have more detail on the arms siege from the officer in charge of the operation a little later here on LBC News.
It's 7:35 now, and Israeli helicopters have fired missiles into Gaza City in response to two Palestinian suicide bomb attacks. At least 20 people were killed and more than 50 injured in the attacks on Tel Aviv. The explosions happened in a busy shopping area in the old bus station area. Islamic Jihad has reportedly claimed responsibility, but there's not been an official statement. Foreign Secretary Jack Straw has condemned the killings, and Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon continues to condemn the attacks.
All attempts to reach a ceasefire, even today, are failing due to the Palestinian leadership that continues to support, fund, and initiate terror.
Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, and in half an hour's time, Saddam Hussein, the other main event, if you like, is due to deliver a televised speech on the 82nd anniversary of Iraq's Army Day. It comes as Tony Blair plans to send up to 20,000 troops to the Gulf in preparation for a possible war. The Iraqi dictator has reportedly scattered key military assets to prevent them from being easy targets in the event of an attack, even when it comes. Our reporter David Chater in Baghdad says it's not clear what Saddam will actually say.
All they've said is that it's of historic importance and will deal with pan-Arab issues. So that's a mystery, an enigma, and no doubt we'll know more at 8 o'clock your time.
David Chater in Baghdad.
Archbishop Desmond Tutu's condemning the Prime Minister for aiding and abetting the U.S. in a war against Iraq. The Nobel Peace Prize winner says he's shocked and saddened by Tony Blair's stance. Speaking on ITV1's Jonathan Dimbleby programme, Archbishop Tutu's pleading for a peaceful solution.
I just hope that one day people will realise that peace is a far better path to follow. The dividends that peace brings are a great deal better.
Archbishop Tutu there.
Now, this is the worst news we could probably give you on any Monday morning. God knows Monday has its blues. But tube and train fares have gone up, as you know by now, of course. Most rail fares have risen by 2.5%, just below the current rate of inflation. But passengers on Connex Southeastern will be stung by an extra 7%. And if I tell you that inflation's about 2.8, you can make up the figures yourself that it's about three times the rate. Travel on the underground also goes up. Campaigner Andrew Bosie says it is the last thing people need ahead of congestion charges next month. But he admits the mayor is not the only one to blame.
We don't entirely blame him because obviously the government are putting the squeeze on public transport, refusing to fund the underground properly. Nonetheless, he did say the fares would be pegged to inflation, and the effect of these increases is that people in the congestion area will be paying more.
Andrew Bosie, playing defence solicitor, of course, for the Mayor of London.
LBC News at 7.38 now. A man from Essex charged in connection with an axe attack at Waltham Abbey will appear in court tomorrow, accused of wounding with intent. 47-year-old Martin Miles, who's local and unemployed, is due before magistrates. He's accused of wounding a 62-year-old man from Buckhurst Hill. Miles' family have tonight been telling of their 30-year struggle to get him into a secure mental hospital. His brother Bill claims their pleas have been ignored.
A hijacked plane whose pilot was threatening to crash into the centre of Frankfurt is now being looked at by forensic police in Germany. An armed man stole the light aircraft and was circling several skyscrapers in Germany's financial capital. Fighter jets managed to coax the plane out of the sky, but officials say it wasn't a terrorist situation. Nevertheless, not nice. CNN's Chris Burns, who's in the city, says it was an extremely tense situation.
He threatened to crash this plane into the European Central Bank. That's the headquarters of the European Single Currency here in downtown Frankfurt. At one point, the plane swooped down as if it was about to crash into this skyline of hundreds of thousands of people.
CNN's Chris Burns in Frankfurt.
Tackling dyslexia through flashing lights, a new scheme is being unveiled in Waterloo later to help the 1 million Londoners who suffer from the condition. The makers of Bright Star claim it's groundbreaking. Olympic gold medalist Duncan Goodhue suffers from the condition. He's told LBC News it can be a very challenging condition to live with.
I went through many years of not being diagnosed as dyslexic, and it was just horrible. You get on really well socially with people. You'd feel you could answer the questions. You would answer the questions orally. But, you know, as soon as you got into the written medium, it would make it very difficult.
LBC News time at 7.40. Travel news is on the way next.
This is LBC News 11.52. Non-stop news for London. If you want in-depth discussion and debate on the issues of the day, plus the very latest in showbiz and entertainment, then you can tune to the new LBC on 97.3 FM. Two news services from LBC. The choice is yours.
LBC News time, it's now 7.41. Time now for travel with Andy McCall. Andy, how's it looking now?
Well, sir, it's still looking fairly busy. Thanks a lot to eyewitness Andy. She tells me that it's looking absolutely horrendous on the M11. Now, it looks as if things are going to start to improve fairly shortly if you make your way northbound off from junction 6 towards 7. That's the M25 towards Harlow. But it looks as if at least some of the traffic is starting to creep forward. We can see, though, from the real-time screens, though, you just said as much trouble if you're heading southbound or London-bound with the traffic stacking up there, 5 miles per hour. Andy herself has been really crawling along there, stuck in that queue. The M1, this is so unusual now for this time of morning, is slow going out of town up through junctions 8 towards 9. We can see a bit further north as well, a real tailback now back from junctions 11 through towards 9 as well on that London-bound carriageway. Updates on the couple of smashes we've got as well on the go for you. We've still got the Sussex Gardens closed off between Edgware Road and Sale Place. Hampstead Road, that's closed southbound at the junction, just by the junction of Cardington Road. That's as you make your way down towards Euston Road. Updates on public transport. Just heard from Dave at Transport for London. East London line suspended, Surrey Quays to New Cross. The rest is running normally. LBC News for travel and weather every 10 minutes.
Travel with Sharsonic, the driving force in home entertainment. LBC News, 11.52. London's weather with Joint Ace Fizz. Healthy joints for movers and shakers.
Well, mainly dry across London today. Some spells of sunshine as well, so that should cheer you up. A maximum temperature of 3 Celsius, that's 37 Fahrenheit. Right now it's minus 1, though, that's 30. Well, tonight's going to be cloudy with some snow showers in places. It'll feel cold and frosty with a minimum temperature of minus 2 Celsius, that's 28 Fahrenheit. Tomorrow is going to bring some early snow showers. It'll turn dry and sunny later, but it will feel bitterly cold. Looking ahead then to the next few days, Wednesday is going to be bright, crisp and cold once again. Thursday, the clouds are going to move in. That's going to make it feel slightly warmer. Friday, another bright and cold day. Back to the cloudiness for the weekend. Partly cloudy on Saturday. It's going to feel warmer. And Sunday is going to be another quite cloudy and a mild day.
LBC News, 11:52. Business weather with Antigua and Barbuda, where it's summertime all the time.
And if you are jetting off today, it's going to hit 14. That's 58 in Paris today. That's a lot better than over here. It's going to rain, though. New York, 4 or 39. And it's going to snow there. Hong Kong, that's a much better destination by the looks of it, 18 or 64. And in Frankfurt, it'll hit 13. That's 55. LBC News, it's now 7:43.
Bloomberg Business News now, live from the city. Here is Tim Williamson. Tim, good morning.
Good morning to you, Peter. Just under 20 minutes to go until share trading gets underway here in London. And we've heard this morning from KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines. It's Europe's fourth biggest carrier and has cut its full-year profit outlook. Like British Airways, KLM's a transatlantic carrier, so watch BA stocks today. Closer to home, the insurer Britannic says it may not pay a final dividend for 2002 if the stock market slump continues. Britannic failed to find a buy earlier this year. And Majestic Wine says same-store sales rose 11% in the 8 weeks ended New Year's Eve, buoyed by demand for champagne, among other things. FTSE 100 member BHP Billiton may fall. Its shares dropped 4% in Australian trading after CEO Brian Gilbertson resigned. He'd been in charge for 6 months. The FTSE 100 starts today at 40.04. The London benchmark had its biggest weekly rise since August last week. Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 1.6% to 87.13 today. Exporters including Toyota, Sony and Canon led the advance, and that's an optimism that the US economy, the world's biggest, may pick up. That's it for now. More Bloomberg Business News in half an hour.
Tim, thank you. LBC News 11:52. It's now 7:44.
When the moon is full and bright, you want to sleep right through the night. A travel in our word we'll keep, that you will have a good night's sleep. With blackout curtains for every guest, there'll be no light to spoil your rest. Travel in. You're in for a good night's sleep. For bookings, call 0870-242-8000.
London's headline.
FR. FR.
What do you mean, FR?
Look! F-R-A-G-I-L-E, fragile.
Mm.
Scrub out the F-R, what have you got?
Agile.
Mm.
Oh, right, I get it.
Yeah.
Hey, that would work, wouldn't it?
Yeah, look, we need an ad for HP services, you know, Hewlett-Packard services.
Mm.
The ad needs to tell businesses that the way to get tougher in these difficult times, i.e. less fragile,
right,
is to get more agile.
Excellent. And then we can just slip in that the way to do it is by making their IT infrastructure more adaptive, more efficient,
yeah,
more flexible, better integrated, all that stuff.
And how it can save them a fortune and really whack up their productivity.
I think we've cracked it. Now all we've got to do is that bit at the end.
Oh, that's no problem. I'll do that. For more information on how HP services can give your business greater agility, call their corporate contact team on 0800 040 7113, or go to hp.com/HPS/agility.
Brilliant.
London's headline news from LBC News, 11:52.
He's charged with murdering three women, a Camden man's appearing in court later, and Tony Hardy is accused of murdering two people whose dismembered remains were found last week, and Sally Rose White, who was found dead at Hardy's flat last year.
His hostage may have escaped, but a man remains holed up inside a Hackney flat this morning. It's day 12 of the siege, and police have spent the night talking to the man who managed to get out. He appears to be unharmed.
Israeli helicopters have fired missiles at Gaza City. The attack comes after two Palestinian suicide bombers killed 23 people and wounded more than 100 in Tel Aviv.
England have finally beaten Australia, winning the fifth and final Ashes test in Sydney by 225 runs. Andy Caddick was the hero. He took 7 wickets.
And if you're buying a car, there's a new colour to go for. After years in the wilderness, a survey has found that gold is likely to be the high fashion colour at London garages in this year 2003. The BMW 3 Series is likely to top the table of hot cars to own.
LBC News, 11:52, non-stop news for London. Good morning to you. I'm Sue Mansfield.
And I'm Peter Dealey.
Let's get some more details now on one of our other main stories this morning. Here at LBC, we told you it was being planned, but Home Secretary David Blunkett is expected to confirm later that if you're caught illegally carrying a gun in London, you'll be jailed for 5 years. He's also expected to reveal details of a gun summit with London's police. Well, our reporter Paul Sylvester has just been speaking to Maidstone MP and former Shadow Home Secretary Anne Widdecombe. Paul started by asking her if the minimum 5-year jail sentence is enough to stop shootings in London.
Well, I think that's fine, but of course it won't solve the whole thing. I mean, this is not a time for just your politics. I think it's quite right to have a minimum sentence, if indeed it is true that the courts are giving very light and very inappropriate sentences at the moment. But I also think you've got to look at the wider picture. You've got to look at the underlying causes of the growth in the use of guns. You've got to look at the drugs problem, you've got to look at gang warfare, and you've got to try and tackle those.
Is 5 years too long, in your opinion, or too short?
I mean, I don't know that I have a favoured term. I think, obviously, the 5-year will be open to debate, but I think that the concept of a minimum is right. I certainly don't think it's too long. I wouldn't like to say it's too short, because obviously the circumstances vary and it would be down to judges to give more if they thought that was right.
Now, we talk very often about how overcrowded our jails are. Do you think that this will just make the problem even worse?
Well, I don't think we can be led by that. I mean, as I've always said, if the courts decide that somebody should go to prison so that the public can be protected, then it's the duty of government to find the places. And we faced exactly the same problem in our time when I was actually a Home Office minister, indeed in charge of prisons. We had a sudden surge in the prison population, and we just took emergency measures. We brought in a prison ship, for example. And I don't think you can say that if the prison population rises, the answer is to stop sending people to prison. The answer has got to be to provide more prison places.
So obviously we can pretty much say then that David Blunkett is getting tough on gun crime, but does he need to get tough on other things like the causes of gun crime?
Well, as I say, I don't know that we can say that he's getting tough on gun crime. I mean, the fact is gun crime has doubled under Labour, so it's a bit of a tardy reaction. But I think you are right. I mean, it isn't enough just to say, let's have a headline, let's have an initiative, let's have a minimum sentence, and then think we've done it all. You do have to look at the wider picture, and you have to look at, as I say, at drugs and at gang warfare, at illegal importations of firearms. I mean, none of this is going to be solved simply by another crackdown on legally held firearms, because most crime is committed with illegally held firearms.
And that was my very own MP, Maidstone MP, Anne Widdecombe.
Is she?
She certainly is. She goes down to our train station. I haven't met her in person, but my husband certainly has.
Have you ever needed her services?
Not so far. I'm sure she'd be willing and able, though, wouldn't she? Ready to fight my cause.
She does. She's game for anything. I love the way she'll get... She's come round like Princess Anne, from nowhere, if you like, in the public esteem...
She was nobody.
...to this superstar.
She is. She's one of the big hitters, isn't she? But she, very interestingly, didn't. And she's hit you many a time, Peter.
Yeah.
She didn't want to be in the leadership fight, though, did she?
No.
Quite interesting,
Played
that one.
Canny.
Sit at the back, and you'll always come to the front eventually, maybe.
Okay, coming up in sport, Nasser Hussain's happy at last after England claimed victory against Australia.
You can't quite believe it, can you? LBC News, 11:52. Time for some travel news now. Let's head over to Andy McColl at the Travel Centre. Andy, what have you got for us?
Well, Sue, some good news at last now. The M11 confirmed now that it's reopened northbound junctions 6 to 7. That's the M25 up towards Harlow. Nonetheless, though, it's still looking absolutely horrendous. We can see just flicking around the real-time screens here in the Travel Centre. We've got speeds averaging not much better than about 5 miles per hour. That's as you make your way out of town. If you're coming in, well, as we've been hearing from eyewitness callers, absolutely horrendous for drivers heading down into town from Harlow and back up towards Bishop Stortford as well. Many thanks to eyewitness Brian, just phoning up on the hotline, coming in from Swakeley's on the A40 towards the Perivale Tunnel. We're getting reports of a smash there at the moment, and that's causing speeds down to about 10 miles per hour or so there, looking absolutely miserable. We're still looking at the closure at Hackney or Graham Road, as you've been hearing on RBC News, that ongoing siege since...